I have a question.
Okay.
In almost every sport, the offense has the ball, right?
Yes.
So how do you explain the batter being on offense if he ain't got no ball?
Because he has a bat in which he is using to hit the ball to score runs.
So you're telling me he's still not being defensive by somebody taking his own property and throwing it at him?
It's not his property.
Whoever if the offense is supposed to have the ball.
Not in baseball. That doesn't hold true in every sport. There are things that happens in other sports that don't happen in baseball.
What other sports where the offense doesn't have the weapon of scoring? I just say ball, you know, pucks, whatever.
Cricket.
They don't have the ball?
Nope.
Who has it?
What, Alfie?
Cricket is basically just British baseball, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Shut up, Alfie. Also softball.
That's the same thing.
Also kickball.
Batter is still defense. Now,
you asked for other sports, and I gave
for
you
for him
sports.
To be, you gave me the same basic sports.
Shut up. Quit doing that.
For the batter to actually be offense, he wouldn't have a bat. He'd walk out to the box with the ball, and everybody else in the field would have bats.
I'd watch that game.
Jacob, our web guy, said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I went, let me run this past you, see if you think this will kill Dan.
What was his response?
Just the first thing he said was, I would watch that.
Yeah. It might still kill Dan, but we'd watch it.
And as you ran from base to base, they would take their bats and try and knock the ball out of your hand. And if you made it to home with the ball, then you score. Then the batter would be playing offense.
I think part of the reason why I would watch that game is because it's similar to football.
I wish somebody would play it that way.
It might improve baseball's ratings.
It certainly would take the, I'm missing the subtle nuances of baseball.
Yeah.
It would take all of that away. Because you know, at every base, that guy's going to try and swing the bat and knock the ball out of the runner's hand.
That is true. It would definitely become all of a sudden, baseball, one of the most relaxed games on the planet, would become instantly the most violent. All of a sudden, baseball players calling football players a bunch of pussy. But look at you guys with your head-to-toe equipment.
I stopped counting after a while. Normally, any topic that comes up, maybe I get 3-4 email. Not that big of a deal.
Sure.
This one, I just stopped counting. Where they're trying to explain to me, all right, here's the reason he's playing offense.
Stop, people. He's not going to acquiese.
And I actually use that response with one of the emails on it. If he's offense, how come he ain't got the ball? The other guy's got the ball, and he's throwing his own property at that guy. That would make me feel defensive. I said, this is nothing really short of domestic abuse.
Oh, my God.
If you're throwing stuff at me and I'm at home.
But he's not throwing it at the batter. He's throwing it towards the catcher.
But it's mine, and they're playing keep away.
Actually, it's theirs. You hit the ball to play keep away against them.
I hit the ball to keep it away from them because I'm tired of them chunking it at me. My stuff. My ball.
It's not your ball. Those guys are out in the field having a nice day, having a nice catch, and then you come out with a bat and decide to smack it away from them.
My ball.
Whoever said it was your ball?
You said offense has the ball.
I didn't say offense has the ball. I said
almost every sport offense has the ball.
Except for baseball.
Baseball, why is that different?
It's an exception.
It goes against just all the logic of playing the game.
Unless you want to look at it this way. The We'll stay with whoever possesses the ball is on offense.
I like it when you finally got to the point yesterday where you just went, no!
I'm done giving you an argument. I'm just telling you no.
I'm sorry, where are we going with that?
It doesn't matter. The fact is, in most sports, yes, in order to score points beyond offense, you have the ball. Baseball is not one of those.
Do you know how hard it is to argue this side of this?
It's extremely hard. Yet you've been doing it for a decade, and that is something to be commended, as much as it kills me inside. It really is one of your greatest arguments.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to take any of these out of here.
Line four.
Yes, Matthew.
Hey, so you're saying that in most sports, the offense has the ball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in baseball, in order to score, in most sports, you need the ball in order to score. In football, you got to have possession of the ball if you want to score. In baseball, you don't have possession of the ball when you score.
You don't have possession of the ball because you're playing defense.
Okay, how do you argue with that logic?
Huh?
The guy is defending home plate. He's got a bat. You got somebody throwing stuff at him. That's an offensive. If you were to come up here and I started throwing stuff at you and your only thing you had to protect yourself was a board, you'd consider yourself on defense.
Well, what if I hit the ball back at you?
That's still defense. Self-defense.
No.
Don't call a smart show.
I like how somehow he was thinking, you know what, Dan? Step aside. I will convince him.
Move on over. Let a big man talk. Straighten this feller out.
My bad. It's all you. I'll be over here just sitting on the sidelines, in the stands, having some popcorn, some Cracker Jacks, watching the show.
So what is it when I hit the ball back at him?
It's still self-defense.
You suck. All right, pinch hitter.
They're really trying to explain this to me, Alfie.
Yeah, they are.
You bring this on yourself.
I don't bring it on anybody.
Yeah, you do.
I like the way he immediately went into, well, what kind of logic is that?
You're coming at the argument totally wrong.
Wrong window. Move along. Oh, entertain a couple of these. Yes, Dan?
Start.
Man, that's a good lockup.
Yes, Scott.
Yes, boss. At one point, both players on either side are offense and defense. And when the pitcher has the ball, he throws it. He is in the offensive position. Now, the second the batter makes contact with the ball, then the pitcher and everyone's back on defense because now they have to defend the ball. So you're both right.
No, I'm right regardless. Even if I hit the ball, that's just in self-defense. I'm still in a defensive mode.
I agree with you on that, but the point is...
No, there is no point. If there was a point, this would have stopped 10 years ago.
That is a different twist, though. I give Scott credit.
What?
He's trying... what he was trying to do is...
Let's make us both right?
Yes. And that's not where you and I live in this argument.
You got somebody who has no clue what they're talking about. I will identify myself as that.
I like how you even raise your hand. It's me right here. This guy.
Baseball, I probably come closer to understanding more than football.
Really?
I get it. It's played. I mean,
I think
really,
you know
I
both.
Think anybody, if you had the talent to throw, catch, run, hit, I think anybody could play baseball if you had all those talents. It would be hard to teach them the game.
Okay, I got
you. With football, you've got strategies. That's war. You've got, like, you know, with Coach Landry and his playbook, it was so thick, you had players that would have to take the offseason just to read it and study it.
Yeah.
It's like they were all studying for their SATs.
Actually, I would say the two sports are very difficult just for different reasons. Both involve a ton of strategy.
Well, they do, but, you know, with football, you've you're always having same number of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, going against each other.
Yeah, 11 on 11.
They're doing, at different times, they're doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, get up there, hit it as far as you can, and run. If it comes to you, catch it. And throw it to the guy that's closest to the guy that hit the ball.
But you could simplify football just as easily as you did baseball.
Do you really think there are, I know with a pitcher, they're going to have different pitches that they're going to use for different batters.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think the overall schematics of base, we're really going to do this, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Baseball are as hard as football. Because I had players from Landry's era that said, I can't understand none of this.
And I guarantee you a bunch of those guys that couldn't understand a playbook also could not throw a curveball.
Well, I know, but that's not something you put. It goes back to what I initially said. You have the talent to do this,
mm-hmm.
throw, hit, run, catch. You could do that. You could teach anybody baseball if they had those talents. Football, you could have the talents, but if you don't understand the playbook, you're out, Jack.
There is more as far as the playbook is concerned to learn. Yes. In baseball, there are situational strategies that you have
to
understand.
If I had the talent, I could play baseball.
Well, if
because they could teach it to me. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, but the same could be said for football. If you have the talent, football could be taught to you. There are people that may have the physical tools in baseball, but if they don't have any situational awareness, they'll never make it to the majors, maybe not even to the minors.
There's another reason baseball is easier. With football, you have play routes, runs, different things that people have to do at different times. It will always change, and you've got the quarterback that's changing things on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, you already know where to run because everything's already laid out for you.
Yeah.
And every time a play starts...
But there's different ways to go about it.
It's mayhem going on in the field in football. Baseball, it's just they're going almost one straight direction towards something or whatever.
Yeah, there's no special run. There's nothing. You just hit the ball as hard as you can.
It's more than that, though.
But what?
First of all, it depends...
What, are you dodging weave as you're heading towards first?
Well, you can, but that's not necessarily a planned deal.
I think that would throw them off.
It might. No, there are certain plays that you can do in baseball. There's the hit and run. There's the double steal. There's the bunt, the squeeze, the suicide squeeze. You have in the outfield.
But you learn all. I could learn baseball. Football, even if I was big enough and fast enough to play, I wouldn't be able to learn. You're going to, especially if I was like a running back. Okay, you're going to go this route, and then you're going to cut this way. Wait a minute, I can't see your entire palm. Run this way.
Yeah.
And if this is going on at this time, then you do this. Baseball, hit the ball, run that way. Just like NASCAR. Go that way.
But, no. This is far above NASCAR. Say, there are advantages to where you hit the ball and disadvantages, depending on whether the bases are empty or whether you've got a guy on first.
I get that. There are different strategies.
So it's not just hit the ball hard.
But your goal is to have a home run every time. Everybody would be happy.
Well, if you
hit a home run every time, who cares if the bases are never loaded?
So if you had to coach one or the other, which one would be easier to coach? Just learning how to play baseball or learning how to play football? If you had a coach player.
He's talking to you, Dan.
Football. Yeah.
That would be easier
for kids? Yes.
What?
Yes.
I
There are a lot more mechanics when it comes to baseball than there is football.
Just for fun out in the field, not like just all competitive like.
For fun out in the field, it's easier to draw on your little hand here, go here. It's just different. They're different.
I think football is going to be harder because there are so many other people to read at one time.
If you're the quarterback, yes.
I think football is harder too, Dan. Because I can play baseball. We can go out in the field right here and play baseball right now. Everyone knows the rules. I still don't know all the intricacies of football, and I played it in middle school.
When you factor in the playbook, and
that's what
football,
I said.
I know. Football can be more to learn, but I don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Belittle baseball?
Thank you.
It is a difficult sport when you just have to stand there and wait for somebody to hit a ball. And if it comes to you, you try and catch it. If it doesn't, you just stand there.
And having played both, yeah, I mean, both are hard.
And therein lies the subtle nuances that Everett's tried to explain to me why he likes watching baseball.
And also one of the things as a baseball player you have to strive for is staying alert on the field.
You have to be alert, but if the ball doesn't come near you, you don't have to do anything.
True.
In football, everybody always has to do something every play.
Yeah, but if you also, if you aren't alert on a baseball field, you may end up eating a baseball.
You might.
But once you see it's going another direction, you have to field doesn't have nothing to do. Like, oh, it's over there. What am I going to do? I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah. I can't run over there and try and catch it. That ain't my zone. That's going to piss that guy off in left field.
If there's no one on base, that might be true. If there's someone on base, you have a job. If you're in the field and there's a runner on base, you have a job.
But at least football makes more sense. Baseball, I don't get the batter being on defense.
and why the three scores? I don't. Every other sport, there's one score. One. In baseball, there's the runs, hits, errors. Why do I need to know that?
That's just stats.
Yeah.
Just to see if you want that player or not. Player, you know, if he's available.
Hmm, yeah. It's statistics. There are statistics for, you know, football players as well. They're easier to read in baseball, though.
Maybe baseball players are just stupid. Ooh. Because everything's drawn out. You got the lines. If you hit it past that line, it's a foul ball.
What's interesting, though, is that you have the stereotype of a dumb football player.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
But you never really hear about it with a dumb baseball player.
That's because everything's drawn out for them.
Yeah.
What do you think the lines on a football field are?
It's to measure the ball, where it is, so you know how close you are.
And also to stay in bounds, the same way with baseball. Hey, don't go past that line.
But if football was as easy as baseball, then everybody would run the same route every time, like they do in baseball. And that completes this sports segment. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
.335, first check on traffic. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Yahoo Live. Not a whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Westbound 635, right at I-35. The right lane there is blocked due to a car fire that has traffic backed up back from Josie. And in Allen, northbound 75, just before Bethany, road construction there has that right lane shut down. That one has you backed up into Plano back from Legacy. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Tune-Up. Cloudy tonight, an overnight low of 60. Then tomorrow, some clouds in the morning. Afternoon sun with a high of 77. Right now, it's 65 degrees at 97.1 Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm proud of iHeart's Show Your Stripes, Hire Smart, Hire Vet program. I'm also proud of the Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation. Russ and his listeners support the families of Dallas-Fort Worth police officers and firefighters who have selflessly fallen in the line of duty. To donate, please go to RussMartin.com. Thank you and happy holidays.
Not the biggest celebrity we've had cut a drop for us, but I would say the most impressive.
I'm with you there. Mm-hmm. Not every day a CEO decides to go like, hey, let me drop a note to the little people.
And it was all based on the fact that we were just talking about all the things I hate about the company. I'm proud of the fact they do the show Your Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Hire smart, hire a vet. Why Bob Pittman, our CEO? Listens? I don't know. It's like you said yesterday, Dan. Over 800 stations, all the shows. Why? Why us? Not only the CEO, but also the CFO listens.
And the CFO doesn't just listen. He became part of it.
That's Kibler's fault for telling me that the CFO listened.
No, I think it's your fault for saying that you would like to have sex with him.
Not just any sex.
Well, no. Sorry to belittle it.
And now, I must add Bob Pittman to the list.
Please, God, don't. It's even close uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They wouldn't assign me to a 3-year no-cut deal if they didn't like me. They knew what they were getting. It's not like I just changed yesterday.
Yeah, but I don't really know if they really know.
They don't know exactly what.
They don't know everything.
That was a stand-up thing to do, and I appreciate it. I got nothing else to add.
Well said.
Especially since, you know, he's probably listening today, mm-hmm. knowing that I was going to play that drop.
Absolutely.
I'll wait. Give it a week. And then it's going to be me and Bob raw-dogging it.
Steve, please, God, don't. Shut up.
And I did get a few emails yesterday asking me to forward to, I don't know who they want, just can you forward to management, their vets.
Okay.
Thanking iHeart
oh,
for the program.
Very nice.
So, I think we've covered everything. Now, back to baseball.
Oh, God.
I can't, dude. That's just too taxing for me. I've taken every route, everything I could possibly think about, not knowing anything about either sport. Okay? I'll say baseball is stupid. Because really, I think anybody could learn it. I mean, who invented it? Wasn't some guy named Orville? Or Wilbur? Melville? Mudville? Baseball man?
Actually, I'm drawing a blank on...
I'm close.
Creator of baseball. I remember basketball. I always remember Naismith for basketball. Baseball, the name usually escapes me.
I'm close.
Yeah, I think you are. I think it's something Melville. Yeah.
It is. Nope, not even close.
All right.
Abner Doubleday.
That's it. Old Abner. Hey, Abner.
Abner, Wilbur, that's kind of close. I got closer than you did.
I was just agreeing with you. I didn't remember. Mm-hmm. I said I didn't remember. I remember Naismith with basketball, though.
Let's see who invented football. You know that name?
No.
Looks like Walter Camp. A Yale graduate and considered the father of American football.
Ah, you know what? Ask me that question again.
Who's the inventor of American football?
Tom Landry.
I f***ed up.
I don't care if it doesn't fit as far as the chronology. To me, that's who it is. F a punch of Lombardi.
Alfie, what do you got on hold?
Those are a bunch of people. Trying to set you on the right path.
I thought we'd already cleared all this up.
No. See, this is what happens. When you go to the dark side, people try to bring you back. I, however, understand that you are a lost cause. I'm going to hang out over here on the light side couches. Relax.
You don't want to help me with this one? Because I think I've run every place all over baseball for this.
I'll give you a hand.
Okay.
I'll jump over to the dark side for
you. Yes, Matthew.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What do you think we do now?
Well, it's the differentiation between offense and defense. Dan, in his differentiation between it, Russ was right. But you got to think about offense and defense as a different, from a different perspective. It's not who has the ball, it's who has the ability to score. Mm-hmm. In all sports, baseball, football, soccer, even tennis, it's whoever has the ability to score is the one who's on offense.
Exactly. The batter can't score because they got his ball. Bye. I think I'm going to stop there.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
All I know is I walk out and somebody's got my ball. If I was really offense, I'd already have the ball. And then how many players on the field in baseball?
Nine.
then there'd be nine guys with bats.
There are. They just come to the plate one at a time.
I meant while I'm up there at the plate with my ball. If I was really playing offense, I'd already have the ball, and they'd try to hit it out of my hands as I went past every base. First of all, that's a lot better game, so screw Doubleday.
Yeah, he was going for, you know, relaxing as opposed to just sheer death and violence.
Don't they refer to baseball as a great American pastime?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound really hard to figure out.
It's a very difficult game. It's not just as simple as you were saying, running, throwing. Because, first of all, hitting is something that most people cannot do.
I know, but I've covered that. Said if you had the talents to be able to do everything you needed in baseball, you could learn it. Football, you could have the talent, but I don't think you can understand everybody's playbook. Everybody had problems with Landry's playbook.
Yeah.
I go through these just to piss them off. Hi, Clayton.
Yeah.
Wrong. Yes, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Not even close. Chris, go ahead.
Hey.
All right, then. You got audio? You want to start with news?
Jesus. All right. Actually, I think it was near the end of the show last night. You flipped on the TV because you saw Mariah Carey singing.
Yeah, they were doing some live event someplace.
Yeah, it was NBC's Christmas at Rockefeller Center. Cut five. Or actually, no. Cut six. This is basically what we heard last night when you turned on the TV to see what was going on. This is Mariah Carey singing All I Want for Christmas Is You.
This is the live version from last night.
Yes.
Sounds like the same backup vocals from the original song.
That I'm not sure. I think she had backup singers there.
Okay.
So, now if you like, cut five is Mariah Carey's isolated vocal track from the same performance.
Oh, I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. So make my wish come true.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Baby, all I want for Christmas is you.
Oh, I think, man, this is the time where you step in, Dan, and go, somebody needs to help that poor woman.
Yeah.
Who released this?
I don't know. I assume it's the sound mixer or someone that got his hands on the individual recording track. And they're saying that they know it was, you can actually hear when you listen to the isolated vocal and you go back and listen to the mixed version that aired on TV, you can still hear her off stuff in there. It's just when you first hear it.
The backup singers are covering it up.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at the video to see if, I mean, I guess if you've got audio of backup singers, you should at least have people there acting like they're singing.
Yeah.
A bunch of people in the back.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to think the entire thing is lip sync. But at least we know she at least karaoke'd
it. Yeah. It, or in your terms, Russ, she rod-dogged it last night. However, the day before or the night before, they were going to pre-record it. That was when I mentioned yesterday. She was like 3 hours late to pre-record it two nights ago. And when she finally showed up, they sent her home. They said, nope, too late. Go away.
Okay, well, you just answered the question that I asked earlier.
What?
Who got this? Now I know why they, I don't know if I asked this, why did they release it? Mm-hmm. Now you know why.
Yeah.
She pissed off the sound guy. All right, you can make me wait 3 hours and then expect, where was she for the 3 hours?
Well, that's,
because
that's
production crews, they get, well, they still get paid.
Yeah, but you want
to, but still making somebody stand around.
Yeah. TMZ says she was busy talking to her divorce attorney, while E! Online says she didn't want to perform because it was raining. She did eventually show up, but by then they just sent her home. She later tweeted, and I'm sure this cleared everything up and made everyone feel better about standing around doing nothing, that the situation on Tuesday was beyond my control. I apologize to all that showed up. You know that I would never want to disappoint you.
Why is it you can tweet the fans, but you couldn't tweet the guys in the production crew that were sitting around waiting on you?
She don't give a damn about that, apparently. So anyway, yeah, the show did air.
I bet she does now.
She should. The show did air last night on NBC. So you get the mix. On one hand, I give her credit since she missed the pre-record thing and any chances to fix any and tweak anything that needed to be. She went live with it, but
it doesn't sound like she warmed up.
It doesn't sound like she warmed up. It also sounds like maybe she needs to hop on a treadmill to get her lungs where they need to be to actually sing a live song.
Did she only do one?
I think this is the only one she did.
Want is. All I want, all I really want is you. All I want for Christmas is you. Yeah.
Let me listen to the broadcast version. The backup singer is carrying that. Maybe that's why she wasn't wigging out about it. You got, I don't know how many backup singers she's got, but you know they're going to cover for you.
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty f***ing bad.
And that's the thing. To me, it's always disappointing because I understand if you're in the middle of a concert and like a Britney Spears or something and you're dancing around all over the place, being out of breath, not being able to hit all your notes, I absolutely get that. No problem with it. But when you're just standing there and you're just maybe moving a foot to the left, maybe to the right, you got no excuse.
Let's see if is the do you know if the video is on the YouTube yet?
Oh, I'm sure it is. And the only thing that might keep it off of YouTube would be if NBC slapped a copyright on it.
This is Rockefeller.
Yeah.
In the news, Mariah Carey's isolated "All I Want for Christmas Is You" vocals leaked from blah blah blah. Does it say in your story who leaked it? Because it looked like
it does not.
This is from usmagazine.com, and it's a spinning.
That's exciting.
It's not loading. I hate this. It's the only thing I hate about Hooters. Same thing.
Huh?
They'll bring you the silverware, and the food ain't nowhere close. Same thing with this. This thing's spinning like it's loading. It ain't nowhere close.
Nah, it's going to be like 10 minutes.
And it is now.
Locked up.
Thank you.
So that means now is the window, the YouTube tab still open?
Won't close.
I am so stuck. Yeah, control alt delete me. Go ahead. Try it. Try it, big man.
I'm trying. You sea sucker. There. Well, it says it's closed.
I bet it's going to be playing now. Oh. That happened to you last week. You're like, okay, I got it closed down. You turn it up. It's still playing. It's a ghost tab.
You open up the task manager. No, Internet Explorer ain't open. Well, this is coming from someplace, mother bitch.
Yeah, I've done that where I've opened up the task manager when Explorer or Firefox was locked up. And it opens up and it says, oh, Explorer running.
The hell it is!
If it was running, I wouldn't have opened you in the first place.
Where are you? Or it says, not responding. I know that! That's why I opened this up! Okay. Well, I think that was a good lesson for her. Don't piss off the production crew.
Mm-hmm.
because the guy running sound is going to isolate your vocals and then release it.
That's one of those things that I would think if I was a singer and I was worried about that, I would have it in my rider. You do not record my isolated vocal track. And if you do, and it gets leaked, you're paying me.
What are you worried about? Can you not sing?
Clearly I cannot. Then that's why I don't want anyone to know it. Or it's the ability to sing in the studio, take after take, and piece it all together and get it right to where it sounds good. But, hell, you can listen to some, especially pop songs, you can listen to some songs and just try to sing along with them, and you can't do it. So you know that the performer can't either, so it's got to be pieced together.
Maybe she was sick. Did she say anything about that in her tweet?
No.
Sound like she's sick or she'd been screaming at somebody.
Well, she had just allegedly come from her divorce attorney.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. That explains all of
it. Oh, I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. So make my wish come true. It's maybe all I want for Christmas is you. All I want, all I really want is.
And in her earpiece, where she's hearing a complete mix in her headphones,
right?
Her earpieces. So maybe she didn't know how bad she sounded.
She may not have. But I know that what she does sound like, it would be like if you had an older sister or whatever, like you walk in on them in the bathroom and they're singing this song. That's what this sounds like. It's like she's giving it the old college try, but she's a little too flat and she can't hit the notes. And she's out of breath, probably because she spent so much time blow drying her hair.
This one also, too, the sound guy turned everyone else's mix up, so she would do that.
Yeah.
I would throw this bitch off.
I believe I would have shut everybody else's mics off.
Oh, no. Oh, someone tripped over the cord. But yours is still plugged in.
That's how you're the lead singer. You just go on.
Oh, you got this. You know this song.
Yeah, this is classic. You own this. You Mariah Carey.
I know. You were in that movie Glitter. What could you do wrong?
Now sing it. 3 hour late, bitch. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
For details.
You want to try the... Dallas bet again?
If you want, we can. It's a real short traffic. Real short, though.
Okay. I'll try and fill.
All right. Oh, I got a plug, though, so it should work out all right.
All right, we'll see.
All right.
402. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Broadcasting with an effective radiated power of 100,000 watts. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic is brought to you by Yahoo Live. Let's get started off in Dallas, westbound 635, right at I-35. The right lane there is still kind of blocked by that car fire. The car has been moved out. Traffic is still unwinding back from Josie. And in Allen, northbound 75, just before Bethany, road construction has the right lane shut down. Traffic is backed up back from Legacy. Listen to Cindy Skull at 7:25 in the morning for a shot at Wynnum before you can buy him. Tickets to go see Bush at the Southside Ballroom on March 11th. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Three Forks. Cloudy tonight, overnight low is 60. Tomorrow the clouds remain, but give way to afternoon sun as we hit a high in the upper 70s. Right now it's 65 degrees at 97.1 Eagle.
This is Michael Dorn, Commander Worf from Star Trek The Next Generation. The Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation supports the families of Dallas-Fort Worth police officers and firefighters who have courageously fallen in the line of duty. Please donate today. Go to RussMartin.com for more information. Thank you.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, where you want to go?
Also from last night, NBC's Christmas Rock at Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Cut 8. So we heard what Mariah Carey did to her smash hit, one of the all-time great carols of all time. So here you have singer, Chloe, help me with the name. I think I have it right. Sarah Bareilles?
Alfie would know better.
Sarah Bareilles.
Bareilles. Sarah Bareilles. She's an established singer. She did a duet of Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I hate that song.
Her partner, Seth MacFarlane.
Maybe I don't know.
That's why I pulled it for you.
Neighbors might think.
But maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this dream?
No caps to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
To break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I'm moving
at
closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
Really can't
get
stay.
Over that holdout. It's cold outside.
Still hate it.
Still better than Mariah Carey, though. And that's a guy that does stupid cartoon voices.
I was looking for some Stewie or some, at least giggity.
God, that'd have been phenomenal. Oh, man, that'd have been so much fun.
You know, he thought about it.
I think he just really likes to sing.
Oh, he absolutely does.
That's why they try and work in all those musical numbers and Family Guy. Mm-hmm.
And he had I think he actually had a CD of with a big band, sort of like the old, like this song, the old crooner stuff with, you know, old Blue Eyes and such. I just thought it was Mariah Carey sold millions upon millions of albums, and here's the voice of Stewie doing better than her on a live performance.
Alfie, didn't we try a version of that last year with you and Blah Blah or somebody?
Yes, we did.
Did we keep it?
I hope so.
Do you?
Did we finish it?
Yes, we did.
Search for
Blah Blah Christmas.
this is news. I just searched baby on my flash.
Mm.
Nope. All it says is news, horse eat a baby. Okay, gotta play it.
Yep.
Tonight at 9, find out how long it takes for a horse to eat a baby.
Not what I thought it was.
Maybe try searching cold.
All right. Here's what we got. Kind of like this game, searching my flash to find different files.
I didn't see what we end up getting, even though it's nothing close to what we were looking for.
Let's try this. That's not it.
Sounded like Blah Blah, though.
Yeah?
Oh, God, that's
I believe that's when she forgot she was still on her runner.
Yes. Maybe try Alfie.
I'm trying
to maybe
see
you saved his like Alfie Christmas montage or
I got a folder for Christmas music, random clips. The hell is that one? Oh. The folder just says slaps.
That's an important folder. Don't ever change it.
I know what's in that one.
Yeah.
Jeopardy. I wouldn't call it. There it is. White Christmas. Most. Now, I don't have it, thank God.
Oh.
That's not why I hate the song. I've always hated it.
No, I'm with you. To me, that's one of the most annoying ones.
And now after the Mariah Carey broadcast ruining the song, I kind of hate the one that Alfie had cut up.
No, that one's still good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play all of it since we played it at the end of the show.
I said, I didn't come here to preach, but hey, I just want to tell you about Jesus.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Jesus said, shut up. ain't got nothing. He said you a cop.
I think it was last year I heard this on K-Love around Christmas.
Oh, no.
And it just seemed so empty without. Mm-hmm. Jesus, somebody tell me Jesus said I was a cup.
Yeah, it's sort of like a thin version and a full version.
And where to follow him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did he just say Jesus rides a Honda? What is it, near the end?
I think, yeah.
Follow our leader, he's on a Honda. Mm-mm, God. He's Alpha and the Omega. He is a master of the mighty, the hero of heroes. Jesus Christ gives you wings. Praise God. He'll leave the light on for you.
Isn't it amazing? Shut up. The Christmas season lasts so long, you can't wait for the music, and right about 11 o'clock or noon on Christmas Day, it's like, all right, I've had enough of this really.
Yeah.
Any other season, there's kind of a lag, like after Thanksgiving Day, the next day you're still looking forward to the leftovers and still kind of grateful that there's a weekend left. Right there about the middle of the day on Christmas, it's like, all right, enough.
Yeah. And I think the reason why is because it's such a buildup. It's a long, slow build. So when it finally happens, it's you're like, all right, I'm spent. I'm good. Get off me.
I can't remember if I liked this one or not. I forgot who cut this one up. Now I'm pretty sure I just blood.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
How about if I just shoot you in your asshole?
With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Hey, if you're queer, push your poo.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
You don't know. There's a chance Roy Clark likes Blake Jobs.
It's the happiest season of all.
Last Christmas party, I fingered three chicks.
With those holiday greetings and...
I've forgotten most of this one.
Yeah.
Gay happy meetings when friends come to call.
What? The phone doesn't even work.
It's the happiest season of all.
All right, which one of you bitches kicked me?
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Then I'd stick mistletoe in my ass and make them kiss my taint.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near.
Right, I deep-throated Berlange.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glory.
See, these parts scare me. When there's a long gap without any clip.
You know something
bad.
Stories of Christmases long, long ago.
And now I got a 2-inch hair growing on my head.
It's the most wonderful time of the mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones.
I'm the same way in bed. If you ain't first, you're last.
It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
So nobody else has ever bought the snowman. I'm excited to see what you guys together this year.
Me too.
All right, 414, Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Thursday, December 4th, 2014. Birthdays today, one of Russ's personal favorites, Marissa Tomei. She turns 50.
Whew.
Yeah. Tyra Banks, she turns 41. Jay-Z is 45.
How could somebody not age at all?
She has. She's just aged really well. Because if you go back and look at her, what was it?
My Cousin Vinny.
20 years ago? 25 years ago? Yeah, and My Cousin Vinny. I mean, yeah, you can tell she looks older, but you still recognize her, and she's still attractive.
And those cans. Whew. Has she ever done full frontal nudity?
Full frontal, no. She was topless in...
She was in The Wrestler and an Alfie.
Oh, yeah.
Alfie?
In or on.
Is that the one with the guy that played... I can't think of the character or the guy's name. The fat guy that died.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah. Is that Alfie?
No. That's...
Wasn't she nude in that one?
She was nude in The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke.
Was that the one with Philip Seymour?
I don't remember.
I think she was naked. Maybe I think it was somebody else. Doesn't matter. There's a really good scene with her in the kitchen someplace where she's walking around topless. You get a lot of good screen caps from that. When I want to off to Marissa Tomei, that's where I go. I go whatever that movie is.
Gotcha. Fred Armisen is 48. Gary Rossington from Lynyrd Skynyrd is 63. Jeff Bridges is 65. Max Baer Jr. is 77. And Wink Martindale turns 80 today.
What do you want me to say? Nothing. Hey, let's call Max Baer Jr.
No, I don't want you to say it, and I certainly don't want you to do it. Texas is leading a 17-state coalition in suing over the Obama administration's recently announced executive actions on immigration. Many top Republicans have denounced the president's unilateral move designed to spare as many as 5 million people living illegally in the United States from deportation. But Texas Governor-elect Greg Abbott took it a step further Wednesday, filing a lawsuit in federal court. Texas is joined by 16 other mostly southern and midwestern states. Under Obama's order, protection from deportation and the right to work will be extended to an estimated 4.1 million parents of U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents who have lived in the states for at least 5 years and to hundreds of thousands more young people. Abbott argued...
Which civil court will they be suing President Obama in?
Federal court in the Southern District of Texas.
And they really think he's going to show up?
No, he has an attorney that'll show up for him.
I guess they have to go the civil route because if it's first of all, impeachment would be the first thing if he had done something criminal.
Yeah.
But also, if they sued him, let's say they could sue him in a criminal court and he's found guilty. All right, give me a pen. Oh, pardon.
I'm not sure exactly how that works as far as the constitutional thing, but I'm pretty sure he cannot pardon himself.
He seems to love executive orders.
All presidents love executive orders.
I order myself pardon.
Abbott argued on Wednesday that Obama's action tramples portions of the U.S. Constitution. The lawsuit raises three questions. That Obama violated the Take Care Clause of the Constitution that limits the scope of presidential power. Also, that the federal government violated rulemaking procedures and that the order will exacerbate the humanitarian crisis along the southern border, which will affect increased state investment in law enforcement, health care, and education.
Okay, so let's say that they go ahead and they sue him in civil court and somehow this is overturned and blah, blah. Then what?
Then we're back to where we were.
Which is ignoring it.
Yes.
Or
saying...
Or arguing about it, but the end result... is the same.
Arguing about it, or some of them taking the hard stance of send them back. If they're illegal, they've broken the law, deport them, send them back. Which as anyone with a shred of common sense should be able to grasp, that's not going to happen. You know why that's not going to happen? Because it was illegal for them to cross in the first place, yet they still did it. And they're still here, and we still give them jobs, and we still take advantage of it. So let's not go over this crap again that, oh, you got to send them all back. It's not going to happen. It's not realistic. Sorry.
There's really no, if you were to put it down on paper, it's like, all right, how are you going to do this? They're illegal, you know. Well, we know where a lot of them are in the morning.
Well, yeah.
So they're easy to spot, But how are you going to transport all of them back? And what difference does it make? And we've covered this. What difference does it make if you don't secure the Texas border? As long as there are jobs up here, they're going to continue to immigrate. During the recession, from 08 to however long it lasted, illegal immigration was way down because there weren't any jobs.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is if you eliminate the jobs, they'll stop coming up here or find the employers. But nobody wants to do that. Everybody likes a good deal on labor. And Mexicans aren't afraid to work. We don't like to work. I don't like to work.
Well,
I do feel guilty. I don't know if any of the guys that do my yard work are illegal. I don't know. I deal with the guy that speaks English.
Right.
But I feel guilty when they're doing my yard, even though I've done it. I know how hard it is. And there's a bunch of them, and they're speedy.
I can't believe it. I do the same thing. It's like if someone's at your house doing something, that even though you're paying them to do it, I feel, for whatever reason, some obligation to help. I don't know. I don't know if it's a guilt thing. I don't know what it is. I feel like,
but if it's your
pride.
But if it's your wife or your girlfriend, you don't want to.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll walk outside, offer those people, some, drinks, refreshments.
Yeah. Okay. Can I help you with some of the shrubs or whatever, or in the house? If you got a housekeeper. I tell you what, I'll take the trash out and I'll go ahead and I'll do the laundry. There's no reason you should do that. Why is it you'll offer the housekeeper that, but not your wife or your girlfriend? I think it's because the wife or the girlfriend expect you to do something and the housekeeper doesn't.
That's wherein
the guilt lies.
Yeah.
Look at that. Another mystery solved. Because I don't know why. Gina, the chick that takes care of my house and dogs, I hate to call her housekeeper because she does a lot more than that.
Yeah, we need to come up at some point later date. We'll come up with a good title for her. But
I would just probably say personal assistant.
But even then, that's not big enough.
And she takes care of my dogs. And for me to try somebody with my dogs, that's the biggest compliment. But calling somebody a dog sitter, a dog keeper.
That's still not big enough. She needs an all-encompassing title.
She's a hot bitch.
Besides that.
I think she'd like being called hot bitch.
Even if she would, that doesn't describe everything she actually does. It just purely objectifies her, and she's more than that.
Oh, she is. But she's a hot bitch.
Jesus.
I've never said anything to her even close to being sexual harassment, because it's a lot more important for me to keep that house clean even if she was interested. One of the few times I went, all right, you will abide by these boundaries and you will not step over them. Otherwise, if you piss her off, you're going to have to go back and clean up your own crap.
See, you can grow up.
She just does too much now. She left me a note last night. Do you want the house decorated for Christmas?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
She went out to the pump house, which is probably about 200 yards from the main house.
Right.
And dragged that 15-foot Christmas tree.
And you didn't help her?
I wasn't there.
Oh.
It was already the back of the house because I had a few spiders, so I cleaned it up and I'll bring it in the house tomorrow. Okay.
Wow.
I forgot where I was going.
Feeling guilty helping the people around the house, whether it be landscapers or housekeeper. But not your girlfriend or wife.
No. And there are a lot of times Gina's doing more stuff than she really should, and the guilt starts to set in. I just act like I'm asleep on the couch.
Now you're telling all your secrets.
She knows it. She knows I'm really asleep or I'm drunk, and she's not going to want my help. I do the dishes.
You sit down. You're drunk. I've got this.
I will wash the dishes. Look, I have loaded the dishwasher.
Go lie back down. I have to redo that.
Why? Because I put it in a microwave?
Yep, pretty much. You put your stainless steel pots in the microwave.
But it looks so festive.
It does, but let's not burn down your mega mansion. Mama needs a job. And this beats the hell out of a cubicle.
And I keep giving her raises because I'm afraid she's just, one day she'll go, enough of this. But she, Chloe, along with Gina and her husband, they're all roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been fine. She's had no complaints, no bitches.
She never said never said anything about me.
No.
All right, hold up.
I'm trying to think of sometimes she said something. I can't come up with any. I don't know of anything that she said. Because she hasn't said anything.
Not one. Then she must not be telling you. There's got to be one thing.
Maybe one time where she couldn't get a hold of him for something that she needed. And it just sounded like she was just getting frustrated because she couldn't hold it because she needed an answer for something.
Might have been about one of the dogs.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
But. Okay, but she's okay.
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna stop giving her raises.
See what you did, Chloe?
Damn.
She enjoys the job.
She never said if she enjoys the job or not. She just hasn't complained.
You might have helped her there, Chloe, if you had said, "Yeah, she loves it."
Yeah, I'll say that.
She really likes the job.
Yeah, no more f***ing raises.
Jesus, what? Man.
You know what she does.
At least help her out a little bit. She loves a job. She loves taking care of you.
I know where we were this time. President Obama being sued in civil court.
Very good.
Again, everybody's got a plan of action to go against the president. Again, I don't like his administration. Seems like a good guy. But I also don't like the Republicans constantly pounding on him and having no answer. There's got to be a middle ground of securing the border. Really, that's where you got to start.
As far as securing the border, I would like to think that the two sides are closer together on that as opposed to general immigration reform. Because the argument against what the president is doing here is, do not give these people amnesty. Do not reward them for breaking the law. The president would then respond with saying, it's not amnesty. Amnesty is what they've already had. At least this way we get them in the system and we can actually start having them pay taxes.
And a lot of them, I don't know about federal, but they're paying state taxes if they're in this country and they're, especially in Texas, they're buying things.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying 5 or whatever the state tax is. Oh. And 5 and then cities tack on 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So if they're buying products, they're paying some taxes.
They are paying some taxes, but at least this way you get them paying federal income taxes. And in some states, you get them paying state income taxes. To me, it's a whole thing of it's stupid that the president is doing it like this in this fashion when he could have done this when he first took office. When he had a Democratic-controlled Senate or Congress.
It just doesn't seem like it would be that hard. I know it's a long border, but with technology, you don't need as like a red light cameras. We have those because we don't have enough police officers to put at every intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So with the technology we have, you think it would be easier to monitor the border and then send somebody out if you see somebody crossing. Then a few years ago, you had a congressman or somebody that crossed the border just to make a point with a mariachi band and an elephant.
Yeah.
Just to show how easy it was to get into Texas.
At a parade.
Making noise.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm making it up about the elephant or not, but I think they had an elephant.
No, yes. I think you're right. Yeah, they did, yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories.
Really should have been on America's Funniest Videos. Mm-hmm. Let's see how hard it is to get across the border. Are you going to go in under the dark of night? Nope. I think we'll do it in the middle of the day with a mariachi band and a pachyderm.
The Shrine Circus.
And the old men in the little cars.
I love Shriners. Maybe President Obama, I don't know. Something else I don't know that much about politics. I just know kind of where I stand on things. Maybe he's doing it knowing that constitutionally he's not going to be able to do this. Thinking, all right, maybe I can push them to at least come to a compromise on locking down the border.
I don't think anyone's seeing it that way, though. I'm not even sure if that's what his goal is, because by doing it unilaterally, then he's just daring the Republicans to sue him and to call him on it. Some are looking at it as just jockeying for Hispanic voters.
I think that's what part of it is. But let's say they go ahead and sue him. And you're the process server.
Oh, man.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
437. Another check on traffic over the myplates.com traffic center. Alfie Coys and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Yahoo Live. Not a whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound Woodall Rogers right at 75. Got a stalled vehicle there that's just been cleared out. That has traffic jacked up, of course, back from I-35. Also in Dallas, northbound 75 on the service road just before Knox Henderson right at Lemon. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. It has traffic kind of jammed up in that area. Into Arlington, southbound 360 right at Division Street. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from 183. And a big one in Melissa, northbound 75 just before 121 in Melissa. Got an accident there blocking the left lane that has traffic completely stopped all the way back into McKinney, back from White Avenue. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Don Davis Auto Group. Cloudy tonight, 60 for a low. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning, afternoon sun, and a high of 77. Right now, it is 61 degrees at 97.1 The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Ready?
Yeah.
You look like you were reading something.
I'm just working ahead.
Pre-reading the news?
Yeah.
Well, I know who you didn't learn that from.
Damn.
JD, go ahead.
All right. High school students escaped seconds before a fire raced through their school bus on Wednesday. Cheryl Norman, who's 14, watched the school bus go up in flames with the same amazement and fear as the nine classmates who were on the bus with her. Cheryl and her sister both recorded video recalling how quickly it happened. Both girls say they heard the bus driver report that a rear tire had blown, and Cheryl said a car started honking at us, so she stopped, meaning the bus driver. And she opened up her window, and the person's like, "Well, the bus is on fire." And then we stopped, and we had everybody get off, and we went as far away from the bus. And it progressively got worse and worse until it was a ball of flames. Video posted by a driver passing by right as the fire began showed flames coming out of the rear driver's side wheel well. As the fire grew, so did the number of people who started recording it. Another video filmed as the fire engulfed the bus. You could see what appears to be an explosion. The bus driver was identified by the district as Heather Bowen. Witnesses say Bowen slowed down, pulled onto the exit ramp, and evacuated the bus as the fire was just starting. Then everyone, including the driver, all safe.
But I saw this. Was this like on the Fox 4 website?
Yeah.
It said the bus driver praised for evacuating students from the buses on fire?
Yes. And when you see like the initial fire, it's like it's kind of shooting up from that wheel well. And you're like, okay, it's bad. And then they showed like the aftermath. That bus is torched. It's like I think by the time the fire department got there, they were like,
I saw the interview with one of the kids. Even the kid, he was so well-spoken. He goes, "Yeah, our teacher, blah, 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 really just escorted us off the bus in an orderly fashion, and everybody was fine."
There was nine of them. If I was a school bus driver, I'd be slapping them as I'm going out the back. You better get the f*** off.
Are they safe? Are they safe?
Yeah. Head count, 9. Me, 10. Everybody's off. F*** that bus.
And that bus was, man.
Was it the brakes or something? I was trying to think of what would be in the rear that would cause heat, friction.
Yeah, they're not sure. That's one of those things they'll have to investigate it to find out. But hopefully it's something that, it's just uncommon. I'll put it that way.
All right. You're not going to be able to answer this. I'll ask anyway. In some of the video, can you tell how old the bus might have been?
No.
Did it look like a GM product?
Ooh. You know, I'm not sure. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure what brand most buses are. Hmm. Like, if you showed me a lineup.
Not really buses.
Yeah, I'd be like, it was that one. It was that kind.
Well, that's not the one at all. What do you got? Bus blindness? Sort of.
Yeah.
Can't identify a bus. You can't identify anybody on one of them.
Mm-hmm. A little girl with autism was turned away from Santa Claus because of her service dog. The girl waited in line at the shops at Mission Viejo to meet Santa. This is in California. Since autism comes with sensory issues, such as feeling overwhelmed at times by lights and sounds, especially when waiting, the little girl had her service dog, a pit bull named Pupcake, with her. When the girl arrived at the front of the line, Santa was afraid of her service dog and turned the pair away. After the girl's family offered to take Pupcake out of the building, Santa still refused to see the girl. The family contacted Simon.
Did he have a problem with, what, was she autistic?
She is, but at that point, you know, we're not really sure what his issue was. Initially, it was the dog, and the family said, well, take the dog outside. But he was still, I don't know if he was still afraid or what. But the family contacted Simon Property Group and the management of the shops at Mission Viejo to make sure their staff is informed of the American Disabilities Act. Meanwhile, the girl and service dog gained attention on social media with people using the hashtag #SavePupcakesChristmas. By the way, Santa and an elf were fired.
First of all, what a dick.
Yep.
You already know it's a special needs kid.
Yes.
All right, so you're scared of the dog. Dog's outside. What's your problem now, Santa Slick? What's the issue?
That's what I wish that they would track down the Santa and try to find out. I wish that the property group had asked Santa, what's your deal? I wish the family would, if I know if that was this the father of this girl, I'd have been like, the dog's outside. What's your issue, Santa?
Well, bad things always happen when people bring in service animals.
Really?
I remember, hang on a second. I'm Walt Garrison.
All right, getting into character.
I know every time I took my boy Ben around with his service goat. There were Santas that didn't want pictures with him. They
really?
Was scared of the goat.
That's so surprising.
Well, Ben needs a service goat. Calm him down.
How does the service goat calm Ben down?
They have different animals. People have bunny rabbits, ducks.
That's true.
Turtles, just any type of animal. When you got somebody that screwed up in the head as my boy Ben, I just didn't question the service goat. He'd take that goat everywhere where he's scared to go. I told you before, took that goat tubing down to Trinity. Takes him everywhere. Holiday in the Park, Waffle House, Bat House, Roller Derby, Lamaze class.
Lamaze?
Cross-dress skiing. Takes that goat to Sonic, Black Light Bowling Night.
Those two really get around.
Ben's just scared of being out in public. He's not sociable, so he needs a service goat. Takes him ice skating over at the Gaylord. Laser tag. Did I mention the Waffle House?
You did, yeah. That was pretty cool.
Scarborough Fair?
No. Wow. It's a wren goat.
Goat goes everywhere. Now that goat, Ben loses his mind. Starts screwing people I don't know.
Ben does?
Oh, hard to explain to him. At least with a goat there, I know that his sexual needs are fulfilled. Him and that goat got matching Vespas.
No.
How he caught a goat.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Ben.
Vespas.
God damn.
Okay. Speaking of mall Santas around the country shared the strangest things kids have ever asked them for. and some of the favorites were posted on BuzzFeed. I'll start with in no particular order. Number one, a remote control buffalo. Number two, a unicorn that poops rainbows.
That sounds good.
Number three, a penis book. However, it's important to note the kid meant peanuts, but couldn't quite pronounce it.
Well, Santa's already got one of them.
A kid asked a mall Santa one time to change his name to Batman, which, honestly, that's kind of cool. Another kid asked Santa for a box of condoms. The child was around 8 or 9. Also, a child asked a mall Santa for a lifetime supply of peanut butter so my dog will lick my face forever, you dirty pervert.
Ben had the same question for Santa, but it wasn't for the dog licking his face.
It wasn't?
It was a goat and it's something else and it's embarrassing and they kicked us out of Big Town Mall and we can't ever go back.
Even towed our Vespas.
Yeah, Ben thought because he had a service goat, he could park in the handicapped spot with his Vespas. And they got towed. And one time, Ben and the service goat got arrested. Mugshot was quite impressive.
Some other things that kids have asked mall Santas for. To know how elves reproduce, a gumball machine filled with avocados. One kid asked a mall Santa to destroy all Backstreet Boys CDs. And finally, one kid asked Santa for the neighbor lady to stop coming over when my mom is at work.
Lady, my mom.
I assume when dad's there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a few others, but I don't feel like grabbing the little rust thing.
All right, fair enough. Do you you have any interest in the 10 questions you need to ask your fiance before getting married?
Oh, that's right. End of the year, lists.
Yes. This is just this is an almost normal one compared to some of the others.
10 things you should ask your fiance
before getting married.
Male, female, doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Start out with, what were you in high school? Were you a geek? Were you a stoner, a bully, or a jock? It's often clear that we have not strayed far from the basic personality traits we displayed as adolescents. So if you find out you're marrying the class clown, you know you can count on the cut-up skills at a cocktail party.
Then you have a story that we had yesterday or the day before that said your personality really is not totally in place until you're around 30.
Right.
So high school, people change in their 20s?
They do, quite a bit.
What was I in high school? I was just kind of there.
You were a class clown.
I don't like that.
I know, but what were you voted?
Wittiest.
There you go.
But that sounds better than voted class clown.
It does. I give you that. Was anyone voted class clown?
No, all we had was wittiest.
Well, there you go. It's technically you. I mean, you're the one that had the Groucho mask? Or the glasses and the nose? In your senior portrait?
Yeah.
Well,
that'll make you a class clown.
It's in the class photo. You're the only one wearing a disguise?
I was in, exactly. I don't want anybody to know I went to Samuel High School. I was incognito.
I think you're the definition of class clown. Number two, are you turning into your mother or father? If you hear your partner's mother or father in that voice, this may be the time to gently bring it to his attention to the pattern that he's perpetuating. And you can also look at that for yourself.
I don't know if that's something that people would actually stop and think about. All right. First of all, are you going to continue with these questions?
Yeah.
That's one. But now, making me think introspectively, am I turning into my father? I don't know. There.
So deep.
What are you going to tell him? Well, I was around my dad his entire life. Especially as I got older, wasn't really around him that much. So how would I truly know?
Well, that's where you have to actually really think about it. You have to think, okay, in a certain situation, how do I respond? And in a similar situation, if there is one, How did your dad respond? Or even, it doesn't have to be the same sex. You might take after your mother more than your father.
I probably do. My mom was a tightwad. I was trying to really think who was the one that forced us to go to the Sears discount store.
Well, there you go.
In Dallas off of whatever.
Do you think maybe you get your work ethic from your dad, though?
Yeah, I had to because my mom didn't work.
That's part of why I ask. And you also, this is something, even though I never met your father, your dad loved to throw things in your face.
I don't recall ever sharing any of those stories.
Laying tile, TV boy?
Well, that was after I was grown.
Still.
Oh, look at you. You had to work. Got your TV show canceled. Got to go work with your daddy at 30. Let's go lay tile. Pay you $100 a week.
Damn.
Now go out front and mix mud. And then complain the way I did it. You're right. I forgot about that.
And he would hold it over your head.
And he'd actually say it in front of other people. If we were in somebody's house, ripping out a shower or whatever. Yeah, that's my boy. He used to be on TV. Now he mixes mud. Go outside and watch him f*** it up.
God. The good thing is you don't do that.
I don't do it that badly. Normally, I'll just say, I bought you an iPad.
Exactly. So at
I
least
it's... bring up the past of, that's my boy, was in radio, thought he was going to be a big shot, get on Fox TV, lost that gig. Now look what he's doing. Go up front and watch it. Tell your friends if anybody used to watch the show Hot Tickets. There he is out there mixing mud. Dumb f***.
On the other hand, that does sound familiar to how, and I'm putting myself with you here, how we treat Dan Lewis. Because he decided he was going to go off on his own, be a big radio man, and that's when we like to bring up, where are you now?
The biggest reason we bring up the where has he gone now is...
He's got it coming?
Yeah, he's the one that... decided he was going to do be one of the interviews in that Observer Slam piece a few years ago. And also just running around telling people the show has no conscience. They just use people and they get rid of them. Dude, you were with me for like, I don't know.
6 years?
Something like that. And I never fired him. Never appreciative of that. Or getting a career in a major market and thinking and helping him get his own show. You can smirk all you want, Dan.
I know what you...
But he didn't know at the time I was using that to get rid of him.
It was a beneficial situation for the two of you. He wanted to strike out on his own. You wanted to help him.
It's funny. I was thinking about that the other... I think it was over the weekend. I don't know why. Just that when he brought up... JD told him. I told him. Do a show on a Saturday. See how it works out. I do it overnights. Test out a bunch of stuff. Nobody's listening overnights. Just try out anything you can. See what works. Do it for maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you'll be ready to go. Well, I don't want to work 6 days a week. Yeah, okay. All right, I'll help you get an overnight show here on the station during the week. Okay. Well, what kind of budget do you think I should give Bob McNeil? I don't know. What do you want to pay yourself? $100,000?
Oh, God.
It was either 100, I swear on my animals.
Oh, I believe you.
It was either 100 or 150,000.
He should have been slapped. Not just forward, but backwards.
And at that point, I knew he was double doomed.
Yeah.
First of all, he didn't have the talent to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was expecting to start overnights at a six-figure salary, and he wanted a couple of sidekicks that he wanted to pay like... $6 an hour.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So you think this budget will work? I went, yeah, I go with that.
Oh, that's good.
Bob will appreciate the fact that you're trying to keep your costs down as far as the sidekicks. So, Dan Lewis.
Yep.
Anytime he comes up, he asks for it.
I agree. That's why I said I lumped myself in on that argument with you. Because I also appreciate the great irony of the situation. because he did not want to do a weekend overnight show. I, at the time, was doing a weekend overnight show. He did not want to work 6 days a week. I was working 6 days a week, at one point, like seven. Where is he now?
I don't know. Luckily, listeners keep ratting him out, even though he doesn't use his real name on the air anymore.
Right. Now, it's more of a rhetorical, where is he now? Because I know where he is, and I very rarely do this. But usually, I reserve it just for Dan Lewis. Where are you? Where am I? You didn't want to do weekend overnights or work 6 days a week. I'm done.
I'll play you for a second.
Okay.
Where are you, Dan Lewis? Where's Dan O'Malley? I am Dan O'Malley. Who's the one that suffered for the past 12 years with this egotistical asshole who can't tell the difference between baseball and football? Doesn't really know much of anything. Thinks Burl Ives the snowman needs a reach around. I've suffered through that. Where are you? And can I swap with you?
Man, you know how to channel a brother. That's what I wanted.
It's like everybody that's gone up against us, and it's not me. I take absolutely no credit. It just, what it does is highlights their stupidity. Anybody that's gone against us has always vanished from this market. And most of the time, I had nothing to do with it. It's not like I said, get rid of these people or have the listeners go and attack this guy. We did it on a few occasions if the other show started it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There was a Magoo guy that was doing afternoons on KZPS. For whatever reason, decided he was going to start bagging on me. And before I could even say anything about it, listeners started taking, I guess at one point he had throat cancer from smoking or whatever. Started taking dead fish with cigarettes in their mouth out to his appearances.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah, cigarette tree 1 year.
Oh, man. Wow. Man, lots happened.
But everybody that's gone up against us or badmouthed us has vanished. And it, again, it's got nothing to do with me and my power. It's just how stupid they were. Nothing, not even thinking about, well, he's been here for a while. Maybe he knows what he's done. Somebody might like him. But I'm new in this market, so I'll start talking about him. Then he'll start talking about us, and then we'll get publicity. No. Anything I did that was really ugly was off the air, and you people know who you are. And then you get pissed off, and you call the police, and the police go, too bad. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
Never miss a moment.
Even in the AM.
The Russ Martin Show.
Weekday mornings,
7 to 11.
On Talk Radio 1190.
Man. No, we were that late. 510. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagle Flat Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Nordstrom. Only a couple of real incidents out there right now. Get started off in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before 121. Got an accident blocking the right shoulder. That one has you back to back from the Fort Worth Mixmaster. And in Melissa, north of McKinney, northbound 75, just before 121 in Melissa. That accident there has been cleared out. Traffic is still completely stopped, though, all the way back into McKinney, back from White Avenue. Still about a half hour delay through it. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Community Coffee. Cloudy tonight, low of 60. Tomorrow, some clouds in the morning and afternoon sun as we hit a high around 77. Right now, 63 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm proud of iHeart's Show Your Stripes, Hire Smart, Hire Vet program. I'm also proud of the Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation. Russ and his listeners support the families of Dallas-Fort Worth police officers and firefighters who have selflessly fallen in the line of duty. To donate, please go to RussMartin.com. Thank you and happy holidays.
A stand-up dude.
Yep. He sounds like somebody, but and I haven't been able to figure it out yet.
I don't really care. He sounds like our chief executive officer.
That must be what it is, sure.
Offered to do it. Didn't even... He could have said gone to go to KEGL.com because the entire corporation likes to push people to the company's websites.
Right.
Pick mine. Didn't say anything. And it serves two purposes. First of all, it reminds people that this company stands behind the vets.
Yes.
They stand behind police and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I play that, it's going to scare Deidre, our GM, and remind her not to f*** with me.
And there it is. That's your angle.
Go ahead.
All right. We were going through the 10 questions you need to ask your fiancé before getting married. We started out with finding out what kind of adolescent they were. What label did they have in high school? Geek, stoner, bully, jock, whatever. Then, supposed to find out, is that person turning into their mother or father?
Okay.
Also, this is a new one. What did you do when your team lost the Super Bowl? This is more of a female asking a guy thing, but, and I'm not sure what the female equivalent would be, but they say noting reactions to losses, both large and small, gives great insight as to how a person handles unexpected crises.
First of all, that's a moronic question to ask.
I don't think so. Think about earlier this year, when the Cowboys lost to the Redskins, and that dude that we played audio of tore up his house.
But that was unique. Otherwise, the video wouldn't have gone viral.
It is unique, but...
So it's not really a good question to ask. You want to ask a question that possibly a lot of people have gone through. If you played sports, how did you react when you lost?
Sure.
Something where you actually had a vested interest, where you were involved, not just watching somebody else do something, and then you get upset because it didn't play out the way you thought it. Most people don't react that way. Otherwise, that video would have been useless.
Right. But if you were in a relationship with that guy, it'd be nice to know to see that side. Be like, you know what? I think I'm going to... Let's be friends.
Do you think he's really... If there wasn't video, do you think he would admit it?
I don't know.
You're not going to tell anybody... If somebody's running through this list, A, I don't want to answer them. Either get to know me or don't. But don't think you can run through a checklist. This is not a job interview. I'm not running for mayor. Just get to know me, see how I handle things. That's a way relationships grow. You go through different events in life, and you see how the other person does it or deals with it. And then you decide, okay, do I want to get married to this foo?
Number four, would you like to have kids?
That's a fair question.
Right.
Problem is, if you're well into the relationship, and you're talking about these are questions for a fiancé.
That's what it says. Ideally, these are questions that you probably should have asked before you even got engaged. This is really what you should, as you said, Russ, find out about through the course of the early-ish stages of the relationship.
And you really should know all the answers if you took enough time in the relationship to get to know each other. Every chick I ever dated, even before the vasectomy, knew I didn't want to have kids.
Yeah, you've always made that very apparent. You gave that to them up front. Number five, what's your credit rating?
I don't know. It's, well, I don't know, 7-4. I don't know.
I'm sure yours is fine.
I guess it is. If short of the house, I own everything else. I save up. If I didn't have the money for it, I would save up for it and then buy it.
And you do have a credit card that you use.
I pay that off every month.
So at least that way you're showing, as Rodney would probably say, you know, put something on it on occasion just so it shows that you're using it.
Actually, Rodney did a segment. I don't know if it was on 1190 or KRLD of using a debit card or a credit card and which was best. And I think Rodney sided on the debit, which I didn't get. Because if you use it, the only reason I use my Amex is just to build up points. If I'm going to buy it anyway,
right,
I might as well get points, and I'm going to pay the thing off at the end of the month.
He might, in your case, it might depend on what his reasoning was. In your case, Rodney might say, for you, Russ, yeah, do that because he knows, and you know, you're going to pay it off at the end of the month. However, most people, it's better to do the debit card because if once they put something on the credit card, they're like, I don't have to pay that all. Now I can take my time. And then you keep justifying and justifying, and next thing you know, you've got $40,000 in arrears with Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, you're right. You run through that list of, like he did during his live spot, of all the different debtors they had. I'd have started cutting stuff up after the first month's bill. Mm-hmm. You spent what? Where? All right, two things are going to happen. I'm cutting up the credit cards, and you can learn how to shoplift.
I cannot fathom.
And that's going to serve two purposes. That's going to help with our finances,
right.
And you need cardio.
I cannot fathom what I would, I'll just leave it there. I wouldn't, mm-mm. Nope.
If you got something in the mail, you open it up.
Like, you got a what card and did what on it?
I bought Neiman's about as far as you can go with a card, something showing up in the mail. Why did we get a bill for Neiman? Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoa.
Right.
This one's yours. Well, but all our money's together. Uh-uh.
Not this one.
No. I never commingled funds for a reason. That's yours. This is mine. If I have to pay for this, fine. But you ain't getting credit for it. I know it sounds dicky, but the whole idea is you're supposed to bring equal parts to a relationship. No one person should be in charge except me.
There you go. I'll burn through the last of these. Number six, can a family member borrow money?
I made that mistake.
Yep.
Not my family. My family knew better.
The amount of emotional and financial assistance you give to outsiders directly affects how much you'll have left to give to each other. Number seven, where will you be on Hanukkah, Christmas, or Kwanzaa? Divvying up holidays can be a severe source of stress for couples. It's important to know how that's going to work out.
If you're engaged, you already know what their religious background is and where they're going to be for the holidays, regardless of what their background is.
Well, no, you have to, but if you have... In some cases, you may have multiple households you have to go to for said holiday. Or maybe as a couple, you decide, have them all come to our house.
I think before you get married, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, you should at least go through an entire year to see how the person reacts to everything. Holidays, dealing with your family.
And you never
first
know.
First of the year, you know, a New Year's resolution is going to stick to it. Not. Like to travel during the summer. Just all the different things that come along with the year. Luckily, you date me for 2 weeks. You know what you're going to see for the rest of the year. I'm going to come to work. I'm going to come home. Good morning. I'm going to get up and look at porn. Then I'm going to work. And they'll blow me.
Except over the holidays, you will decorate.
I don't decorate.
Well, you have in the past. You like that.
I do. But nobody's going to see it over the holidays except me.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you're in a relationship, that'd be the only thing that would really change. But all of a sudden, Russ is...
I enjoy decorating the house for the holidays.
Right. Number eight, are you into bondage?
Mm-mm.
Basically, that's just the sex question in general. Lay it all out there before you figure out, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person.
That's, first of all, you really should have gone through all the sexual fetishes that each person has.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to learn anything about me. A, because I'm not going to trust you, and B, because I'm not really into anything except sticking this in that. I like that, and then squeezing these.
I'm going to skip number nine because it's my favorite. Number 10 is, will it be church or golf on Sunday? In other words, that's the religion question. Are you going to be going to church or not? How important of a role is religion going to play in the relationship?
Yeah, I don't know. We know the answer. Well, for me, it's not. Ask me again. In my mind, I will think about God on Sunday.
Right.
There's no reason to ever go to a golf course, ever. I don't care
not for
how
you,
much
no.
Mayor Rawlings enjoys it.
Well, he's got multiple reasons to go play
he
golf.
He likes to go out there just because he's mobbed up. Go out, drink, drive motorized vehicles, gamble, smoke.
Cigars.
I wonder if he was a little buzzed when he called yesterday.
I don't know. I didn't think about that. I
mean, didn't he say he played golf on that day, yesterday? I think he did.
That I don't remember. I know he did say that it wouldn't hurt to have a little something extra in the tank on council days, which is what yesterday was.
Yeah, he could have still been buzzed from the council meeting.
Mm. I think he would have. I think he was going to the council meeting. So don't those start at like 6 or something?
I thought it was earlier in the day.
Yeah, those were in the morning.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah.
He probably had a few gin and juices.
he was all free spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell he was a little more. He's always lax with us. I really like him. Regardless of, you know, he's done a lot for the city of Dallas. I don't know what it is. So that's fine. But he drinks, and Mayor Price in Fort Worth drinks. So I like them both.
Yup.
And Betsy, Mayor Price listens. Well, her emails always say Mayor Betsy.
I understand.
But I don't think I've ever called Mayor Rawlings Robert or Bob or whatever his first name is.
Mike.
Yeah, I've never called him any of those.
Yeah, Mayor Mike sounds way too casual. Like Mayor Betsy's got kind of a cute ring to it.
Yeah.
Mayor Mike kind of sounds like it's some, like, I don't know, it's.
Sounds like a something you won in grade school. You ran for class president.
Yeah.
I'm Mayor Mike. I'll eat anything.
Or it sounds like the summer school version of the mayor. I don't know.
Safety town.
I heard somebody interview Mayor Rawlings on KRLD once, and they called him Mike. They didn't have a problem with it.
No. I'm just saying.
I'm big into if you've worked really hard and you've earned a title, like Dr. Thornton. Very seldom do I call him Scott.
Right.
Captain Howard with the Dallas Sheriff's Department.
First name, Captain.
Dan may call him Mark. I won't.
I think the most casual I refer to him is Cap.
If you've earned it, Sergeant, wait a minute, Hackney, who came in for my birthday that brought me the flag that had flown over a destroyer.
Yes.
Wasn't that right? He didn't like me calling him Sergeant.
Ooh.
I'm not wearing the uniform. You're still Staff Sergeant.
And then he gave you noogies and said, you call me Mark. Like, no, I will not, Sergeant.
I will not, Staff Sergeant. This is a trick. Are you a f***ing meat boy?
And finally, the question you need to ask your fiance: can I go to lunch with my ex?
If there's a reason, if you've got kids.
How about, this is the reason why this is my favorite one. Other than that question, the immediate follow-up to this question is, how about attending that bachelorette party in Las Vegas? Mm. What about a strip club with the girls?
Talk about a guy asking a chick all this?
I'm putting it as you asking the question, or no, the girl asking you these questions. Russ?
Russ, can I go to lunch with my ex?
Why?
He wants closure.
You know, I did that once, and I'm pretty sure you guys f***ed. So, no.
Aw. I promise nothing would happen.
We'll
be in public. What do you think he's going to do? Bend me over the table in front of the whole restaurant?
I am shocked. I was in my 30s, and I allowed that to happen. You know, the concert we were going to go to tonight, my ex is in town, and we never really got closure when I moved from Florida. He wants to go. All right, where is he going to sit? Your seat.
God.
I'm ashamed.
That makes
really
me nauseous now.
I'm ashamed that I let it happen.
A concert.
And then, of course, you're setting up all night, waiting for the phone call of... Okay, we got that done. Closure, he's gone. Whatever.
Yeah, because you're going to get so much closure at a concert.
It was so loud, we didn't get a chance to talk.
Oh, imagine that.
And I remember that concert was on a Thursday night. And then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go to dinner tonight. We're going to have the conversation.
On Friday night.
And It's like, all right, I can't force you not to go.
Right.
I could just say, I don't like it. We weren't living together, so I really had nothing to throw in her face of, go to dinner. Enjoy yourself. Plus, I hear wearing cinders is going to be the fad for the next year. Burnt clothing is going to be the rage.
Oh, Jesus.
And, of course, I circle her house all night because I never got a phone call. I remember standing in the bed of my truck looking over the fence. I bet they're in there right now.
Oh, my God. So when did you finally talk to her?
It was Sunday morning.
What, after they got closure all weekend?
I'm sure they did. The only upside to it was the concert I missed was Barry Manilow.
God's that bullet.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:35, another check on traffic. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by State Farm. Whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas, eastbound I-30, just before Grand Avenue. Got a police vehicle blocking the right shoulder that has traffic backed up back to Sylvan Avenue. In Duncanville, eastbound I-20, right at Cockrell Hill Road, got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic goes backed up back to Spur 408 Patriot Parkway. Into Richardson, northbound 75, just before Arapahoe, got a stalled vehicle blocking the left center lane. Traffic there is backed up back from the High 5. In Plano, southbound 75, right at Legacy, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. This one involving an 18-wheeler. Traffic is backed up back. Traffic is backed up back from Stacy Road. And in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before 121, got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic there is backed up back from Rosedale Street. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Cloudy tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning, sun by the afternoon with a high of 77. Right now it's 64. A 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, Daniel, go ahead.
Josh Brent rejoined the Dallas Cowboys in November while he has yet to appear in a game, although I believe that first one should be Thursday tonight. The defensive tackle is now on the defense in a different way. The day before he was officially reinstated to his job that pays more than $600,000 a year, Brent was welcomed back with an official notice that he's being sued.
By?
Jerry Brown Sr. Brent's name was added to a lawsuit which is filed more than a year ago by the father of Jerry Brown Jr., Brent's teammate and best friend. Brown died. Of course, we know how he died. Brown's father isn't content with the lessons Brent says he learned. In the suit, Brown said he and his son were like twins, the best of friends. He wants Brent and the owners of Privé, the nightclub, where they partied before the accident, to pay up, saying they had essentially decided his son's life was, quote, worth so many bottles of champagne and alcohol. After finding that the bar overserved Brent, the state suspended Privé's license and shut down the club. The owners then voluntarily closed it for good. The attorney representing the club does not believe the bar should be held liable.
I'm not really big on the overserving law myself.
Especially...
You know when you're drunk. You know it.
Yeah, but there's also gray areas, especially in a nightclub where there's bottle service. You may bring 10, 15 bottles of champagne or vodka, liquor, whatever, to a table, but there could be 30, 40 people at that table. You don't know who's consuming it.
They never said how big the party was?
There were multiple Cowboys players there that night, so who's to know who was drinking what at what time? All they do know is the tab that Josh Brent ran up, but again, just because you have a tab of whatever doesn't mean you drank all that.
Damn it, I know that.
So anyway, the attorney representing the club He doesn't believe the bar should be held liable. He says if the jury decides to hold someone responsible, we hope they will hold Josh Brent responsible. In an attempt to make sure that, the very bar where Brent got drunk that fateful night also sued him last month to recover any damages that might be won by Jerry Brown's dad.
The bar filed suit against
Josh Brent. That way, in case Jerry Brown, at the time, Jerry Brown Sr. had sued the club.
Okay.
They, the club, then served Josh Brent saying, if he gets any money, we're suing you, Josh Brent, for it.
I don't think that's going to work out in a civil court because all one attorney has to say is the club lost because they were found liable.
Right.
So they can't get money from this family because they no.
I know, but it doesn't stop.
I don't
stop.
Have time to explain all of it, but just common sense says that's not going to work.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop an attorney from filing the suit. But it's just one of those things, of course. The dad waits until Josh is back with the team and getting a paycheck. I don't know if that would change anything had he done it.
All right, I'm going to bring up the obvious. I thought the family forgave Josh.
Jerry Brown's mother did.
But not?
Dad.
Okay.
And I don't think that they're still together.
I don't know. I've never lost a child. So that's a different mentality. I can't judge on that one. I can't take a position. I don't really believe in the over-serving thing. Because not everybody looks drunk the same way.
Right.
And if you've got a lot of people partying together, you're not sure who drank what. And the final analysis, I think it's the person that gets in their car, not the person that served them. But there are plenty of fat people running around. Nobody's suing Walmart. Will they let me buy all the groceries?
Yeah. To me, though, that there are some exceptions. Like if you've got video proof of a guy at a bar that is just visibly just hammered, and a bartender says, yeah, I'll give you another shot, and gives him more drinks, in that situation, that's an irresponsible bartender, and that needs to change.
It is, but I still don't think you hold the bartender responsible because you're still giving a drink to somebody that's supposed to
stay
aware
supposed
of their
to be,
surroundings.
But I'm talking about someone, you know, you like you said, everyone looks different, but you know that guy when you see him, and you think, that guy does not need any more. Because at that point, he is so far gone, he's not in control of anything.
Maybe sometimes they don't want to cut him off because they know the guy is going to get belligerent.
Then you find a way around it.
To me, I just go, you know what? You cut off. Let's close out this tab. I have to go and call my boyfriend on the phone.
Yeah.
Hello? 911? Who wants a tip?
Yeah.
I'll be fascinated to see how this one turns out as far as suing Brent.
I will be too, especially, and to me, what bothers me about it is again, this sounds like it's either being done out of sheer anger, which is understandable, or just wanting money, because mom has said, I support him. I love him like he's my son. I always have. That's not going to change even despite this. And also, Brent has said, look, I've messed up. I will now make it my life's purpose to make sure I raise his daughter as if she were my own type of thing. So in essence, with Grandpa suing Josh Brent, he's taking money out of his granddaughter's pockets.
Well, just because Brent says I'm going to make sure that she has all the financial support she needs doesn't mean that she's going to get it. So maybe
that is true.
The father's saying, you know what, let's guarantee she's going to get it.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't lost a kid, so this is the situation I can't really judge. I just can't.
Right.
Alfie, what are you going to hold?
People calling about the Josh Brent thing and bars and stuff.
Which one?
Line two.
Okay. Yes, Justin.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment in regards to Brown Sr. Suing Josh Brent.
If there were multiple Cowboys players there at the event that night, wouldn't they all be liable for the state that Brent left the club in?
They weren't all driving the car.
They weren't all driving the car, but they let him get to the state, state that he was. I mean, if a bartender's going to be liable in this case, then, I mean, the other players should be liable.
No, those things don't – no.
I see what he's getting at.
No, you don't, because the other players could have been really drunk, but all could have had designated drivers. I got somebody that's already ready to drive for me because I know I'm too drunk to decide on my own. You don't use a drunk to judge another drunk. So that's why you don't hold the other players accountable.
Yeah, but,
you want somebody sober to make the call, not somebody drunk.
True.
That's why if you get stopped by a police officer, unless it's in Fort Worth, you assume that cop is sober.
Damn. You get a handful of DWIs.
But you understand the analogy.
I do.
You can't hold the other players. It's like some of them might not have been paying attention to what Josh was doing.
Right. You hold if you try to hold anyone responsible third party wise, then you go after the club because they're the ones that are supposed to be sober, and they have a license that comes to the state.
So is there a court date?
No. Okay. No. It'll just be something that'll be, like you said, interesting to watch. Well, Bill Cosby went on Twitter to thank Whoopi Goldberg and Jill Scott for defending him against the allegations he's been hit with. He just posted two quick tweets saying thank you. For the record, Whoopi really didn't defend Cosby. During a discussion on The View, she just said, I'm going to reserve my judgment because I have a lot of questions. Jill Scott, though, was very much on Bill's side.
Who's Jill Scott?
She was on, was it American Idol, Chloe?
I don't know who that is.
She's a singer-performer.
Okay.
At one point, she tweeted, I side with substantiated proof when media/society is attempting to destroy magnificent legacy.
The legacy really has nothing to do with it. And that Gloria Allred.
Cut seven.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a stunner that she got in the middle of all of this.
Today, I'm here to propose two new solutions to this public dilemma and a way to determine if Bill Cosby is a saint or a sexual predator. The only reason that Mr. Cosby is able to avoid dealing with this in a court of law is because of the statute of limitations. Bill Cosby could.
I'm not saying he did or didn't do it, but the statute of limitations exists for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Cosby's attorney, I forget his name, doesn't matter, said, how fascinating, I'm paraphrasing, that it happened, supposedly happened all these different times, and nobody, not one person, not one individual, called the authorities. Again, that's not proof on either side, but to me, that's the most damning against the women that have come out and said this happened. This Allred chick, I don't know. I know attorneys cannot contact a potential client. I don't know how she always ends up in the middle of these unless somebody just says, I'm going to call Gloria Allred.
Ugh.
I'm going to call Eyewitness News and then Gloria Allred. Because she always pops up into these.
Yep.
In a court of law, is because of the statute of limitations. Bill Cosby could agree to waive the statute of limitations. If Mr. Cosby believes that all of the women are being untruthful, then this is his opportunity to prove it. Alternatively, he should agree to place $100 million into a fund, and anyone who claims she was a victim could appear before a panel of retired judges who would serve as arbitrators to determine the merits of each claim and the amount of compensation that would be appropriate if the claim is found to have merit. It is time for justice and accountability.
It is time for somebody to be proven guilty. And right now, again, I don't know what happened, but right now, Bill Cosby is an innocent man. The whole story sounds squirrely.
Oh, yeah.
But there is no proof. There is no evidence. There are no videos. There are no photos. There's no DNA. There is absolutely nothing except a bunch of people coming forward and saying this happened. And how do you justify how much money somebody gets to equate the crime of rape, because that's what she's saying at the end.
Right.
The claim is found to have merit, and the amount of compensation that would be appropriate if the claim is found to have merit. It is time for justice and accountability.
Just the fact those words came out of her mouth, to me, makes this Allred chick a because I would think most women would say there is no way to justify how much money you should. If you can prove it, and there is no shadow of a doubt, first of all, I think the guy gets a death penalty.
Amen.
Money, you take whatever they got, which is not going to change anything. I can't imagine any amount of therapy that would undo that type of torture. The best word I can describe. But just the fact that Allred is in the middle of all of this, I just, it's, and I wonder if she would do all this for free. You know, Bill Cosby, he can just waive his rights as far as the statute of limitations.
Yes, because these and victims.
Then we'll go to court. All right, are you going to do all this for free,
well,
Gloria?
Well, no, I mean, I still get, you know, I my costs have to be covered, and you know it's quite a staggering amount. I get mine, then they get theirs. That's how it works.
And she knows any attorney, if she were Bill Cosby's attorney, she would tell him, "Don't take that deal."
Yeah, really.
She knows that. This is nothing more than just another media event to keep her name in the news. You know, go stand by. If she's done this before, I apologize. But maybe go stand by a man who's been wrongly accused.
He's got other male lawyers for that.
I'm talking about Allred. Just
I know.
So it doesn't look like it's always just the men against the women or the blacks against the whites. Mix it up.
So everyone has to have a specialty, though, it seems.
It's a challenge that she knows that his attorney will not let him do. I think keeping your mouth shut is not a good idea, especially if you're in the right. I've never believe keeping your mouth shut if you know everybody's lying, because it's all eventually going to come out. The thing that's most damning for Bill Cosby is he's just dodging it. Just say, I didn't do it to anybody at any time. I'm done.
Yeah.
Nobody could prove anything. I didn't do anything. You come up with proof, let's go to court. But just to say, waive your constitutional rights and then so we can go to court. Suck it.
That may not be the best.
I'm talking to Gloria already.
Still.
The disgusting thing that I see in all this is that it sounds like Gloria Allred is trying to set up a reality show. It's not. There's nothing legal involved at all. She wants to set up an arbitrator of retired or an arbitration panel of retired judges that have no legal standing.
I don't get the why you make the adjustment with the retired judges.
I guess so that way it lends some credibility.
So you want Bill Cosby to go on to People's Court, have Wapner or Judge Judy?
That's kind of, yeah, that's what Alfie's kind of alluding to.
Short of preserving his legacy. They all know if they went to court, Bill Cosby is going to win because there's nothing there. Although in civil court, we all know that all you have to be is 1% more believable than the other one.
Yeah.
So if all the women convince the jury, 51%, you're done. Bill Cosby's out.
Yep.
I don't know. If I'd worked so hard my life, a lot of charity work, America's Father, just that legacy, I would do everything I needed to protect it. And keeping my yap shut, I don't think that's going to do it.
No.
We got on hold, Alfie.
People still calling about Josh Brent and Bill Cosby.
We're past the Josh Brent. So which one?
Line five. That's our Robert.
Five. Got it. Yes, Robert.
Hey, boss.
Yep.
All Cosby has to do, since they have no evidence at all, these women, it's just hearsay. He has the greatest asset in the universe. He's been married to the same woman for the last 60-some-odd years. And all he's got to do is go, well, when, what date was this? Well, it was such and such date. Turns to his wife and go, where was I? I was at home. And turns them all into absolute liars.
Unless there was, you know, some type of documentation of, yeah, he was in Las Vegas on, you know, July 17th of 1974. Those things, then again, you can't.
Why can't his wife be there with him at the hotel?
Yeah.
And he had five kids.
Yeah, I just, that's the biggest thing that makes all of this really squirrely is he's not saying anything. If anybody accused me of rape, the first thing I'm going to do, I don't care what anybody says, is the bitch is lying.
The first thing I'm going to come up with is you better have evidence and proof, otherwise you got a slander suit up your ass.
And that's why I'm surprised that there hasn't been, you know, just a threat of a suit against anybody that's said, hey, this happened. Okay, well, you know, if we go to court, you're not going to be able to prove it happened, and you're going to lose this one. Why he hasn't done that, I don't know, which is also kind of squirrely.
Mm-hmm.
True enough.
All right, thank you. I know this starts to get a little weird, but you wish there was some type of identifiable birthmark or someplace in a private area where you get them all separate.
Yeah.
And you ask them, okay, in this area, did you see anything odd?
On the other hand, though, since his MO was drugging the women, they may not all recall that. They may not have been conscious for it.
Then I think Bill Cosby wins a civil lawsuit every single time. And if he did any of them, that's sad.
Yeah.
And I can't say I understand the fear of not wanting to call the police, because no man can understand that. Of, you know, having somebody force themselves on you sexually. You already feel ashamed, and now you want to, the right thing to do is to call the police and then go through court proceedings. What's that really going to change? Are you going to feel better if he goes to prison? Probably not.
But at least if he goes to prison, maybe he gets a taste of his own medicine.
There's an ugly sweater joke in there, and I'm going to let it go.
Okay.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
604. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas.
Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy's and Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Peter Pan Live tonight on NBC. Whole lot going on here is the worst. So let's start off in Dallas, southbound 75, just before Northwest Highway. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from around the High 5. Also in Dallas, eastbound I-30, just before Grand. All lanes there are now open. There was a police car out there kind of holding up traffic. That has traffic backed up back from Sylvan Avenue, though. Let's move into Duncanville, eastbound I-20, right at Cockrell Hill. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Mountain Creek Parkway. In Plano, southbound 75, right at Legacy, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. This one involving an 18-wheeler. Traffic there is jacked up back into Allen, back from Stacy Road. And finally, in Fort Worth, northbound 35W right at Basswood Boulevard, got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. That has traffic backed up back from Northeast 28th Street. About a half-hour delay through that. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Cloudy tonight, 60 for a low. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning. A chance for rain has increased, but it's still a good chance for afternoon sun and a high of 77 right now. 64 at 97.1 the Eagle.
What's going on, boss? I just want to say thank you for everything you do, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
It was funny to me. The guy recorded that audio thanking the Dallas police officer.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me the video. And that's when I sent the email back. Were you scared? Yeah, man. Well, you had no reason to be. You're going to walk up and thank a police officer for what they do.
I guess he was nervous because he had his phone out.
Yeah, he wasn't doing a good job holding it. I had to fix that video.
Yeah, you showed that to me last night, man. That was ugly. Oh. I'm being nice.
I had to twist it around vertically and stabilize it. I mean, I understand. I wouldn't want to do it. I was even talking to Jacob, our web guy, today. He goes, there are plenty of times, you know, I'm past police officers. I want to say something, but you certainly don't want to be holding a phone because it's just become associated with holes wanting to record something ugly to post on YouTube.
Right.
We thought, well, you could take the phone if you're wearing a shirt with a pocket. Stick it in the pocket. With the newer phones, they're bigger.
Yeah.
So the camera would stick out.
That is true. Be like your own body cam.
Gotta be sneaky.
Like, you don't want to be sneaky, but you also don't want to go up and ask, can I record? Because most officers are going to go, no, man, it's not necessary. If you just walk up and say, can I record you for YouTube? Because I think people should see on the internet somebody thanking a police officer. You know, most officers are going to go, that's, you know what my job is, and I do it, and I appreciate it.
Right.
You just don't want to walk up with a phone before you can go, hey, what's going on? It's like, zzz.
Yeah, you better bypass that small talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better get straight to the point.
Hey, boss. I got something to say when this is off.
and if don't be so excited that you run towards the officer.
Hey!
Holding a dark object in your hand pointed at them.
I'm all excited about doing this.
I found one! So I understand the trepidation.
Yeah.
Because I've had the chance to do it, and I didn't want to walk up with a phone. And there could be a chance that odds may be in my favor they would recognize me or the voice. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to take the chance. Hey, I just like to tell you. Oh, really? How long does this thing go? I don't know. We're in Garland. We bypass. Shut off.
Yeah, really.
So I think that's why we only have two or three videos on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was when you first, I think after you played the first video of Connor from Fort Worth, who
right.
thanked a Fort Worth officer, a guy shot me an email. And he said, he's like, I'm like Russ. I try to thank them, but I usually do it quietly. And he's like, this is how I think most people do it. He's like, I think they thank them quietly, and maybe that's the reason why you're not getting many videos. But he said, every time I've been at a restaurant somewhere and I've seen officers, I've tried to pick up their tab. And I'll find their waiter or manager or whatever and say, give me their tab. Don't tell them who did it. I don't want credit for it. I just want to do it. So he would do that. And one time, he buys a table of officers lunch. And right before he can leave, one of them grabs him. And the officer says, hey, I just want to thank you for getting our lunch. And the man responds, no, I didn't.
How do I respond? What do I do?
And the officer says, yes, you did. Thank you. We appreciate it. No, I didn't. I swear. I didn't do anything like that. Sir, we have a witness.
We know it was you. I want to say thank you. And you also have warrants. I've tried to do that before over at Jersey Mike's when they're obviously it's a popular place for Addison cops during their break.
Yep. I've seen their vehicles out there.
And I motioned at the manager. Obviously, I'm in there a lot. And I pointed at the cops. And I pointed at my wallet. He goes, we already got it covered.
Nice.
So, nobody knew but me and the manager. But you're right. If you're going to do something like that, do it. Get the hell out of there. Especially if you got warrants.
or if you just think you might.
Yeah, really.
I just wanted to say thank you and buy all of you another round of drinks because you're all on duty. Why would you ask me a question like that?
Yeah.
I am not drunk. You just bought a round of police.
I know I don't buy more shots. Woo!
I think I got him one of those ski shots from Twin Peaks. Just sent it right out to the squad car.
So I understand why we haven't gotten a lot of videos.
Yeah.
All right. Alfie, do I want to take any of these?
They're all about Bill Cosby. If you want, line six is all right.
All right. Yes, Amanda.
Hi. I was calling in regards to the whole Bill Cosby and the 17 women, if it's even still 17. I just had a few comments about that. I totally agree with you, Russ, as far as not one single lady coming forward right after the incident happened. Because it's like I was telling the gentleman earlier, I had that same thing happen to me quite a few years ago, and it wasn't just one person, it was two. And I went to the authorities the very next day. Unfortunately, nothing was really proceeded on it because one of the gentlemen, he ended up skipping town.
Okay.
But I was terrified. And it's like you said, it's a form of torture. And to this day, I still have nightmares about it. I just don't see how none of them could have gone forward the very next day.
How long ago did this happen?
Let's see. It's been 12 years now.
Did you go through any therapy?
I did.
Did it
and
help?
It was very difficult.
Did it help at all?
Somewhat. I mean, I've actually been able to talk about it a little bit more over these last few years, but it was still just, the only way I can describe it, it was torturous. And to wake up feeling the way that I did, I mean, that's no way for anybody to have that happen to them.
You still wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it?
Yeah. And I still have horrible nightmares about it. I mean, my husband now, he's very patient with me as far as, you know, how I deal with it, and it's just not something that I would wish upon my worst enemy.
Well, and I got a lot of people I hate I might wish that upon, but yeah. Not somebody innocent.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like you said before, I just don't see how none of them could have gone forward the very next day. You know, if they suspected anything, they should have said something right away.
How long did you wait after you were attacked?
It was the next day, actually, because I woke up and I was terrified. And one of the guys that was involved with it, he had skipped town. So, like I said, nothing was able to come of him because the only thing I had to go by on him was his alias name. And hell, there were so many people by that name that there's no way that they could have found him. And
I'm going to guess for a short time, it affected the way that you perceived men. Has it still changed your perception of men?
Actually, believe it or not, it hasn't. I mean, there are still times that I feel very uncomfortable being left alone with certain people. But on the other note, I also carry knives with me at all times.
You're a good chick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, definitely. And I'm very well trained on self-defense thanks to my dad. Yeah, he taught me when I was very young how to defend myself. And unfortunately, in that kind of a situation, there really wasn't anything I could have done at that time since I was drugged. But, you know, I still carry a knife with me, and I have a lot of guy friends, but they're all people that I have known for since I was basically a kid, you know, and I trust them, and they all are very protective of me.
Talking about it to anybody, did that seem to help a lot? The only reason I ask is when the call started, you didn't sound like you were going to make it all the way through, and then you calmed down a little bit. Is any of it cathartic?
Yeah.
You actually feel better talking about it at different times?
I do, especially when it comes to other women that have been through the same thing. Like my adopted mom right now, she's had a lot of traumatic incidences happen to her, and one of those is something that we share together, like that kind of an incident.
So a support group does help.
Exactly. It does, and it does help to get it out and to be able to talk about it. And like you said, it is still very difficult for me to talk about at times because of the way that it happened. But
well,
talking about it does help.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it.
Oh, sure, no problem. I listen to you guys all the time, and you guys are awesome. I love the work that you do, the support from the SPCA, your Russ Martin's Listeners Foundation. I respect you guys a lot, and you make me laugh. So,
it's very courageous of you to call.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Hey.
Next.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. I can be nice when I need to be.
See, when you need to be.
She needed somebody to be nice to her. I would have been nice regardless.
I know, but you also could have said, see, I'm capable. I wanted to be nice. In addition to that, I needed to be.
She needed somebody to be nice to her.
Yes.
You didn't need somebody, you know, I got radio shtick that I got to throw in here. I got to throw in some jokes. It's the fact that somebody had the courage to call and go, this happened to me. I didn't dig it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to share the story. I can appreciate that.
I think you nailed it, though. It's more than just appreciating it. It's calling it for what it is having the courage to, you know, to do that.
And if it's in a situation to where it's more than he said, she said, and there's definitive proof, I have no issue whatsoever to go ahead and that person goes down.
Yep.
I don't care if it was a family member of mine or whatever. If you could prove that a man raped a woman, I'm fine with the death penalty. I don't care what it says in the Bible.
Yeah. And the other, another I don't know aspect of it that has always bothered me, and it's not just because of the Cosby thing, because I've heard about, you know, guys drugging girls for years, is the thing with guys drugging girls. To this day, women have to take steps if they go out somewhere, if they meet somebody new, whatever the case is. Women have to constantly be on guard. And I think with all the women that I know in my life, most of them have a story where not necessarily that they were raped, but someone slipped them something or attempted to slip them something, or they've witnessed it to somebody else.
And that's another thing that fortunately, it escapes me, is I don't get the rape is a power play. I don't get that. It's like slapping a woman around. I don't get that power play thing. I don't understand that. I don't understand rape. Then they say that's what rape, it's not a sexual thing.
For some, it is. It's a sexual predator thing. For others, there might be some sort of deep-seated psychological trauma, and they have this need to hurt women. And that would be the power aspect. And that's just one way that they can go about it.
Alfie, have any women called to thank me for being so kind and courteous?
Women have called.
I'm going to sit here until somebody calls and say, that's a side of Russ I never thought I'd see.
I'll try and get one.
What does that mean?
As Alfie pulls out a Rolodex. All right, let me find. Here we go.
Okay, let's see. Mandy, don't call that one. Not everything, it's like I've said before, not everything has to have a punchline. Not everything has to be a bit.
No.
If it's relatable, if it's compelling, then it's okay radio. And if somebody calls and they went through a situation and they certainly want to share it on the radio, that's a big deal. So don't think that goes unappreciated. Clothes digging in his nose, so he didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, he was just making weird faces. Yes,
that must be one monster booger. I'm going to need to see that one when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
We need to put that on something. You know, like what? They do like...
The booger?
Yeah, like you know they do with butterflies and the... What do they call those? The frames?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we need to...
Shadow box.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need to put his booger in a
shadow box.
Yeah, we need to preserve it and hang it in the studio.
It's going
to
have wings.
My snot's been drinking Red Bull.
Oh, God.
Okay. We can move on from this.
Okay. Well, this will make all of us feel better, mainly because, well, actually not that one. I'm going to save that. We'll do this one instead. Gangnam Style, the South Korean pop star's enduring video phenomenon from 2012, has surpassed 2,147,483,647 views on YouTube, maxing out the site's original view counter.
What they? We're talking YouTube?
Yeah.
This is all the different people that have posted Gangnam Style, not just the official video.
The views, yeah.
For all of them.
I think, I might just be the original one. Or it might be all of them. It's just
it still
one.
Didn't make any difference. It obviously went beyond their, I think they had a 32-bit counter system.
Yeah, they did.
You know how I knew that?
You read the story?
Yeah. Like I know what 32-bit means.
Yeah. According to Google, which owns YouTube, in a blog post this week, they said, "We never thought a video would be watched in numbers greater than a 32-bit integer."
Well, what year did YouTube start?
It was like nine, more than that. I was going to say nine
10?
Years ago, but.
I'm sure they weren't thinking beyond millions.
Yeah. That was what they said, is that we never thought a video would get
to this
number.
It's like McDonald's, not the best example, but they never thought, hey, you know, changing the sign, just go out there and put billions and billions served.
Yeah.
Because they probably never thought, oh, we'll just put, you know, 100 million served, and that'll probably be enough to hold us for a few years.
Right. Oops.
Then finally they went, all right, that noise, mm-hmm. just put billions and billions.
Google added, Gangnam Style has been viewed so many times, we have to upgrade. When programmers built YouTube...
Well, they have to go to 64-bit?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
They did.
I saw the story.
Yes, you did. When programmers built YouTube 9 years ago, they probably never imagined that a video on the young platform might be watched more than 2.1 billion times. YouTube software engineers saw the problem coming and recently upgraded to a 64-bit view counter across the site. The view counter can now go up to 9 quintillion views.
Okay. How many extra commas is that?
That is, okay, billions is 1, 2, 3. Billions is 4 commas. Quintillion is 5, 7. So 3 additional commas.
Which is exponential.
Uh-huh. So the next time you think to yourself, ooh, a genie in a bottle, how much money should I ask for?
Or never go, whoa, you know, download speeds of 52 or 56 kilobytes per second. Who's going to need more than that? Or a hard drive bigger than 4 kilobytes? That's crazy.
2 gigs of RAM? My God. I'm never going to need more than that.
I go through 2 gigs of RAM a day on porn.
Russ will find a way.
I had Paul in our engineering department. I said, all right, I'm having a problem with my laptops logging up on stuff. I don't have anything extra running. And he ran diagnostics on it that I didn't know you could do, short of, you know, just right-clicking on computer properties, clean up disk, you know, delete these files, whatever. He did more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It took 7 hours.
Oh, my God.
For the computer to finally, after it ran through all the diagnostics, cleared everything out. And this computer I never use for porn, so don't. And so I'm sitting in my studio, and the laptop, I had other computers to use, but I always sit in one spot, and that's just where I like to be.
Right.
I went, I can't do nothing. He goes, well, you got this one over here. I need this one. what do you have on it? Well, nothing. Even Jacob came in, our web guy. He goes, what are you doing? Waiting for this to finish. He goes, well, what about those two behind you?
Yeah.
They ain't where I sit. And it's just that Pavlovian thing of I need this here, that, I need this to do that.
Yeah, you're at home base.
And I got nothing written for today.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Sure, run 7-hour diagnostics on Russ's spot.
Well, and guess when it came back? Oh, I told you when it came back on.
It was like what, right before the show?
It was 2 minutes into the show. I came in the studio. I went, guess what the finally came back on?
Finish! Exclamation point.
Would you like to finalize?
F you. You HP bitch. What do you got, Alfie?
I got a bunch of women wanting to thank
you. No, I was kidding about that. I don't need it.
I'll get rid of them.
How many?
Right now, I have 4 on hold and the 5th one I'm talking to right now.
How many did you have to call?
4 with the 5th one on hold right now. All right. I don't want to be ugly and not. Give me a 1.
Line 3.
Okay. Yes, Corey.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say that I get Russ, I love Russ, and I always knew he had it in him to be a sweet guy.
Man, she did really good reading Alfie's script.
Yeah.
That was an Alfie script. That's exactly how I feel. I love listening to you, and there are some bitches out there, but I get you, and 99.9% you're right about women. but not all of us. Some of us are good.
Well, and I've said that before. I just talk about the bad relationships I've had.
Exactly.
Talking about the good ones, which I've had more good ones than bad ones. But talking about the good ones, nobody cares about.
Right. It's all sensationalized. You know, everybody wants to hear the bad because it's drama-driven society. But I think you're a badass dude.
Do you have big...
Yes, I do. I have 38 double D.
She didn't know what... What?
38 double D.
Damn. You got to get a commercial license to drive those around?
I do have a bad posture because of them, but it's all good.
Buy some rebar. I'll fix that. Thank you, ma'am, for calling.
I love you, Russ.
Thank you,
Merry
ma'am.
Christmas, sir. God,
she does love you. She laughed at your rebar joke.
He told me to get rebar. Hold up my can.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:32. Another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Peter Pan Live tonight on NBC. Whole lot going on. Here's the worst of it. Starting off in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, right at Basswood Boulevard. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up back from Northeast 28th Street. In McKinney, southbound 75, just before El Dorado. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Wilmoth Road. Both of those about a half-hour delay through it. Into Plano, southbound of the tollway just before Parker. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes there. Traffic is backed up back from 121. Also in Plano, southbound 75, right at Legacy. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's jacked up back from 121. And finally in Dallas, southbound 75, just before Northwest Highway, got an accident blocking the right lane. Your backup there is back from the High 5. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagle, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Cloudy tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, a chance of rain, but hopefully we'll get some afternoon sun along with a high around 77. Right now, 63 and 97.1 Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Alfie, obviously I was not serious about looking for things.
I'll get rid of him then.
I don't want to be ugly to him.
I'll be the ugly one.
I'll take it. I'm not going to let him thank me, but I'll take the calls.
Okay.
All right. Leslie.
Yes?
You don't need to say anything. I thank you for calling.
Oh, I love you so much. Can I say that?
You can say that.
Oh, and your voice is so dreamy.
Yeah, don't look at the video stream and don't Google me. Unless you like orange and white.
Yes.
Oh, shut up.
Definitely.
You sickle man.
Yes, Elizabeth?
Yes?
You don't need to thank me for anything. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you, Russ Martin.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you, Russ Martin.
Then during the break, Dan goes, see, you can be charming. What do you think? I'm just walking around all day being a hole hiding it?
No, I've told you many times when you can be charming, and you always look at me like, no, I'm not.
Being compassionate is not being charming. To me, being charming is trying to pick up a chick.
Sometimes
I can be compassionate.
Yes, you can.
But charming, I feign. All of that's fake. No.
Man.
He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know which one to say. I knew the F word I needed to say. I could be compassionate, but charming, that ain't my bag. That ain't the way I roll. Because charming is saying things that women want to hear, whether you mean it or not. That's the way I look at it. Oh, okay. He's so charming. Well, he's doing that because he wants sex. I don't want sex from these women that are calling that have these stories. I'm being compassionate.
Yes, you are.
And I'm certainly not going to be charming to the creatures that email me.
We know you're not.
You can even hear their, even though it's just in text, you can hear their voice. Take me out.
The text has got moles on it.
Yeah. It's all moles in here, and all of them end up looking like Lemmy from Motorhead.
Take me out. Hi, Russ.
That sounded like a Luke Bryan swamp thing.
Man, I'd like to go out with you.
That's going to throw up my throat.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Actually, I got a few emails to throw at you.
Not about the last topic?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this goes back to one of your other sides. slow clap to you, Russ. I'm a self-admitted a-hole, but damn, man. Sometimes you even say things that make me say, damn. When you mentioned saying the words, I settled for you, I myself have been in situations to where I've wanted to say mean things, but never have I thought of saying that. That's some awesome mean stuff. I can't wait to use it.
First of all, I don't mean go on the attack or something like that. If they're just pounding you and pounding you, mm-hmm. like, you know, when a relationship is just about had it, especially yeah. when they start nitpicking of, well, you smack when you eat. Okay. Well, I'm not saying this because you said something ugly, but I settled for you.
Jeez, yeah. Just, wow.
The weasel never would have said that to me. Well, then why don't you move back to L.A.? He got rid of you for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Settle.
The chick that dated Dweezil Zappa, she used to love to throw that in my face. Dweezil had a bigger place than this. Mm. Dweezil was living in Daddy's place. Plus, I settled for you.
I almost feel like you could really draw him in and be like, come here. No. A little closer. I want to tell you something from the bottom of my heart, and I want you close so I know that you hear me. You
okay.
ready? Are you ready?
You're whispering.
All right, take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
I settled for you.
You better have cotton hair plugs in.
And a bug out bag.
Yeah.
You won!
Ideally, you do that through a hologram. Or,
that's the way Obi-Wan told Princess Leia that he wanted to f*** her. A hologram.
Why is R2-D2 here?
He has a message from Obi-Wan. Wants to tell you that he settled for you. I got an email. Hold on before you get to the next one. This one took me a couple of times to read it to understand it. He included the text from the chick that broke up with him.
Oh.
And okay. I missed that in the opening part of the email. Russ, listened to you for years. I've always listened to the show. However, recently I've gone through a horrible breakup where my now ex decided to do it through text.
What?
And here's a text she sent.
Okay.
So, I've been thinking like a lot, and I'm going to guess he copied and pasted this.
Okay.
So I'm just assuming this is verbatim. So, I've been thinking like a lot about everything, and I feel like you want... from us, is it going to work out? Sometimes I feel like I'm forcing myself to like you, and that's like obviously not a good sign.
Does he say how old they are?
He didn't.
Oh, God.
I want to be crazy. I want to be free to love everyone, and I want to wear animal hats and stripes. I don't want to be dependent on someone to love me the way that you want to. I'll still go through with the group, to the movies and stuff, and I promise I'll stop flirting with you. So obviously, they broke it up a few times, but she keeps flirting. That's what I gleaned from this.
Okay.
I'll stop flirting with you in real life. I want to love myself more than any guy, and I feel like I'm losing that. I don't want to do that. This is why I don't want to have a label. Like I've said a million times before, let's just be friends, and I promise I won't change my mind this time. Thinking about it gives me stress. Then he asks, how do I deal with this one, boss? You already know what the answer is. She keeps going and coming back, going and coming back. I hate to use this analogy, but that's just a roller coaster that ain't never going to end until you go, I'm getting off.
Yeah.
This needs to stop. If you live forever and you want to go through a bad relationship for, you know, 5, 6 years, whatever, that's fine. If you're going to live for 1,000 years, you go, that's a small percentage of my life. And it doesn't say, doesn't say how long they dated. But really, do you have to email me and find out what you need to do? First of all, she couldn't even tell you on the phone. Now, I don't know, this guy could have been really clingy, but she obviously kept saying, pushing him away, pulling him forward.
Right.
It's that the emotional two-step. What do you want me to tell you? Take her back? Because you know how it's going to end? Or you know what the next, there's going to be another curve. There's going to be another downward spiral. Then you get on that flat part of the coaster where you think, oh, damn. Well, this isn't so bad.
Yeah, I can catch my breath. Oh, I can take it easy.
What was I worried about? Oh! And that's what it is. It's nothing short of an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, you know her for a while. You know what? Chances are she's going to be back. Just be prepared to say, eat my ass.
Yeah.
When she does.
I replied to him. I just sent back, tell her to go gravel.
Amen to that.
Hey, man.
And it really is.
I don't even want you something that's going to give you any type of pleasure. Go gravel. I don't know how old this guy is, because I know I put up with a lot of crap in my younger years. That's the only advantage of getting older,
right,
is finally you just go, enough.
This sounds like a young couple. Especially when it comes to, you know, I promise I won't flirt with you if we go out, you know, with our friend out to the movies and stuff like that anymore. Like you said, she's done that. This sounds like a very young pair of people.
I hope he actually sends her the response. I'm curious to see what she says. Well, I told her to go gravel. I can't even think how a chick would respond to that. Why would I want to gravel?
Go outside and try it. See how it works for you.
She's going to blame him?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to call him selfish?
I got pebbles in my pussy now. Selfish how? She's the one that said, hey, it's over. I'm not going to take you back this time. Or
yeah, it's actually stupid. For her to call him selfish is hypocritical because she's the one being selfish. He has not been selfish. He needs to be and quit being her, you know, basically cat with a ball of yarn.
But you don't want to be friends anymore?
No, I don't want to be friends with you.
But we have so much fun together. I love it.
I don't want to be friends. I got guy friends I can go out with, and they're not going to F me around. And she says at the end, but like I've said a million times before, let's just be friends, and I promise I won't change my mind again. Which means she's just playing him.
Yep.
So, I believe carnal knowledge with gravel is the answer.
I think I read that in the Bible once. It might have been handwritten in there somewhere, but still, it was in there, and that counts.
What was the other email?
The next time, Russ, the next time Whitney Droland calls in, just ask her out. Don't beat around the bush. No playground BS or nothing like that. All right, well, maybe a little bit to warm her up, but just say it. Say it. Hey, you want to go out for drinks? What's she going to do? Turn you down? Probably. But F it. What have you got to lose? Just ask her.
If I already know the answer, what's the reason to ask? I already know she's got a boyfriend.
Right.
I think just to shut people up, I texted her one time about going to lunch. And she said, well, can I bring my boyfriend? That's all I needed.
Yep.
Just to mute all the emails, all the calls. Well, she wouldn't keep, you know, being on your show if she didn't have the hots for you. And then I guess they thought, well, because she called yesterday, even though she's not working anywhere, she's got nothing to promote, obviously she still wants to get it on. She doesn't.
She called in because she wanted, she related to a topic and it gave her an opportunity to vent on said topic. And she also had the hotline number.
And she possibly had an interesting conversation with her man that night.
I bet she didn't. They've been together for that long, year and a half, and he hasn't said anything about moving in together or getting married or
showing any real commitment.
It's not going to go anywhere. And for whatever reason, she seems to have some type of self-esteem problem to where she doesn't want to look at him and go, look, look at this. I will disrobe for you.
Easy, big fella. Let's back away from that visual and go back to reality for a second.
I will disrobe. Do you want this long term or not? If you don't, I know some buck 255-year-old guy that does with money.
More than you. And if I know one thing about buck-toothed guys, they sure love to chew on things. It's nonstop.
You go ahead. Pull that snatch out and stick barbed wire fence between me and it. Let's see, can I not eat it?
She should ask to watch you eat cheese.
Eat cheese for me. It makes me so wet.
My pleasure.
And then you pulled a picture up of what we assume is her current boyfriend. And she felt the need to text.
Alfie dug that up in his collection.
I didn't see it on my Twitter page or whatever, but she maybe it was a direct message she sent me. He's not Italian.
Oh, yeah. No, that was open to everyone to see.
Oh, because I replied to it, but it didn't go to her.
Oh.
I didn't bother going on Twitter or whatever. I went, well, then you f***ed up twice if he's not Italian. You got a guy that won't commit, and you're screwing some Dago wannabe. I'm a Dago B. That's what you want.
I'm going to make that your new Match.com headline.
I know how to treat a woman right. I know how to tell her what she wants to hear, what she don't want to hear. I can be compassionate and many times I do care. Many times I act like I care, but I show act like acting like I don't. That's the one that's fun. Do you hear anything I'm saying? No. I mean, yes, baby. I just told you about my entire day. Did you hear one word? No. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. I'm very sad about your day. Will you be shutting the f*** up anytime soon?
Yeah, you're right. She's really missing out.
Well, it's not like I would be ugly to her. I really think, especially after you pulling clips of The Bachelor and all these other jack turds that are on television with all these different women. Yes, I am the man you want to be with. We are soulmates, even though we only met 22 seconds ago. We're now sitting in a hot tub and you're playing with my pipe. To me, those are the guys that are being charming. It's irritating.
I give you that, absolutely. And it's very transparent.
At least if you're going to do it, you just met them, you know, half a minute ago. We're sitting in the hot tub. Play with my dick.
Let's find out how compatible we are.
See, do you excite me? Let's make egg drop soup in this hot tub.
Oh, God. You're not getting a rose.
Why wouldn't she get a rose?
Saying you're not getting a rose. Hey, baby, let's make some egg drop soup.
Yeah. Hey, you want to go in the hot tub? The good news is, if we're in the hot tub, I can't shoot in your eyes.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm proud of iHeart's Show Your Stripes, Hire Smart, Hire a Vet program. I'm also proud of the Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation. Russ and his listeners support the families of Dallas-Fort Worth police officers and firefighters who have selflessly fallen in the line of duty. To donate, please go to russmartin.com. Thank you and happy holidays.
656. This is KEGL Fort Worth. Dallas, Texas, over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Al McCoy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by State Farm. A whole lot going on. Here's the worst of it. We're starting off in Dallas, southbound 75, just before Northwest Highway. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up, back around the high 5. Into Plano, southbound 75, right at Legacy. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is jacked up, back from 121. Into McKinney, now southbound 75, just before El Dorado Park. We got a stalled out vehicle being cleared out. Traffic there is jacked up, back from Wilmoth Road. Southbound 75 is completely screwed up. You're basically backed up Northwest Highway all the way back to McKinney, so try something else. Back into Plano, southbound on the tollway just before Parker, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic is backed up back in 121. And finally in Fort Worth, northbound 35W right at Basswood Boulevard. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Your backup there is back from Northeast 28th Street.
All right, man, I got to get home and watch Peter Pan live.
Okay, sorry about that. Listen to Skull tomorrow morning at 725 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see Bush on March 11th at the Southside Ballroom. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle Weather brought to you by Peter Pan Live tonight on NBC. Cloudy, 60 for an overnight low tonight. Then tomorrow, some clouds, a chance for some rain. Hopefully, we make way for some afternoon sun and a high of 77. Right now, 61 at 97.1, the Eagle.
Are you ready?
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, I know you've shied away, Dan, from the Cowboy game. Since it's tonight, we have the rebroadcast on 1190 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, we can just talk about both sides and cut out whatever fits or don't fit.
I don't want to cut anything out.
See, I told you cutting up the show for 1190 is a pain in the ass.
It is. Did I ever say it wasn't?
You're the one that offered to help.
I did, and
well,
I'm doing
it. You talk about the Cowboy game, and then we'll just cut that part out and go, hey, Cowboys played last night and lost, won, and then cut that out.
Yeah, if you had to bet right now, which way would you go?
You don't have to. You can say whatever you want. And then tomorrow, 1190 will be right. You could say they won. You could say they lost. We just edit out whatever we got wrong. Or we leave all this in and just say
that's more our style.
Okay. That's what you get for listening to AM. Who are they playing tonight? Bears?
Yes. Of? You want to guess the city?
Give me a second.
All right.
Jellystone?
No.
Okay, that's Yogi Bear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. San Francisco?
No.
See, that makes the most sense.
Touche. Because I do not know of any time I've seen a bear in Chicago, but I've seen many in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Chicago Bears?
Yes.
Thank you. When does the game start?
Pretty now.
Oh, is it like right now?
Yeah, like just a little bit after 7.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Cut all this out, all the 1190 stuff.
Yeah.
Is this CBS?
This is CBS 11 locally. It's airing on NFL Network nationally.
So is CBS carrying it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Says winter has indeed arrived. Tonight, Dallas quarterback Tony Romo hopes to heat up fast and lead the Cowboys to their 6th road win of the season.
Audio courtesy of the National Football League. By the way, if you're a Dish Network subscriber, you're probably not seeing it.
Maybe I'll just tune over to show. Oh, no.
Damn. What is it with all the Dish and DirecTV and nobody can get along? And they're going, no more CBS.
got an antenna?
What?
You know, a big spiky aluminum thing on the roof.
No? You mean that rooster thing?
No, that's a weather vane, you idiot.
Hey, I listen to your show, and them ratings people call me.
Yeah, I think we could do without you.
Yeah. We'll absorb that hit.
Okay. Well, I haven't started playing yet, so we can kill a little more time. That would be up to you if you've got news or email or actually, you know what? I actually do like the nodding of, yeah, we can kill some time.
There is actually one other thing that I would like to throw at you. Russ, what the hell is your problem? You had Whitney effing Drolin call into your show, and instead of being nice and sweet to her, you lay into her like she's done you wrong. It seems like you're purposely trying to wreck any chance you have at dating her. Instead of saying that she's breathlessly beautiful, you go on and on about wanting to blow in her rack. Listen, you've got to learn to restrain yourself.
Okay, and?
He's right.
To restrain myself how? I am. She is never, ever going to go out with me.
Not the way you treat her. Not the way you talk about her.
I don't treat her poorly. Have I never said she was stunningly beautiful?
Yeah, then you followed it up with something disgusting and grotesque.
That's the way I am in real life. You are stunningly beautiful. You literally take my breath away and then make me want to shoot all over your great big fake knees.
That's that right there.
What?
Leave out the last part.
But it's the truth.
Don't be so truthful.
You know, I think if we keep talking about this, we can beat the Cowboys in the ratings.
I don't think so.
I really honestly think, shtick aside, women like men who are straightforward. I think
there's a
maybe
difference.
Maybe not the younger ones, but at a certain age, maybe like in the 20s where I'm still attracted to them.
Okay.
They've come to realize this charm and other stuff is just bullshit. They want somebody to go, look, I like you. I wouldn't take you out if I didn't like you. I enjoy our conversation, but I'm not putting up with any shit. I'm not picking up my clothes.
That's fine.
I'm not going to act a different way just to make you happy. I want to be as comfortable with you as I am alone. To me, that's a perfect relationship. Now, let me shoot on them great big knees.
See, there it is.
What?
The difference between being straightforward and being blunt. The difference between honesty and blunt.
What is it, Chloe?
Maybe just the timing. Maybe you could talk about the shoot thing, just not right at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I think we could actually just promote this as watch the Cowboy game on TV, turn down the volume.
And listen to us?
Yeah. Because really, you can tell what's going on. You don't need play-by-play if you're watching it on TV. Where else are you going to get better relationship information? Hot chicks, they get compliments all the time. There is no compliment you can throw out that is just going to make them swoon. And I know that's an old term, but
that still applies.
There's nothing you can throw out. It had just like anything else in life, there has to be a balance. Every time I see you, I have to take a breath because I find you stunning. But I find you stunning because I want to take my juice and shoot it all over your great big fake knees. I have made some special things for you for Christmas.
Really?
I made a chewing gum sculpture.
Okay, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that would actually probably get you more points than the shooting.
Well, you got to... I'm sorry, I'm going this route.
That's fine.
You got to go with something they ain't heard before. I made you a chewing gum sculpture. Mm-hmm. Took me 6 months of Wrigley's and Love. There are a few chiclets in there.
But that's just for binding?
But most of it's Wrigley's.
Okay.
I made you a calendar, a 16-month calendar of dicks.
I'm sorry?
You heard me. Go ahead. Flip the show off. Go watch the Cowboy game. See what you miss. You know everybody wants a 16-month calendar of dicks.
I don't know anyone that does.
Why wouldn't they want it?
I'm still not even sure to what you're referring.
You shouldn't be.
I know.
I'm trying to be ambiguous so I do not get fined by the FCC. Or KEGL or KFXR.
Smart. Very wise.
Sometimes I take my puke and I make doilies out of them.
Doilies?
Just so you have something to set your old drink on. So I look classy.
Okay.
I also bought you for Christmas because I enjoy you and I am trying to be charming.
Mm-hmm.
An advanced copy of Rodney Anderson's book on how to speak accurately.
Advanced. Advanced, yeah.
Nobody has this yet. Not even Rodney Anderson. Because he certainly can't say accurately.
What would you really have me do? How would you? Just straight. Take the radio show aside. Whitney Droland calls. We're on the air. What do you really think I could say to her to make myself attractive to her? Honestly. We're keeping people from the Cowboys.
I know. I'm not sure. But I know that going. I know what you're doing. You're going the bad boy route, trying to stand out from the crowd.
I'm not trying to stand out from the crowd. I'm being me. And if she enjoys that, then we're going to get along. But if I put up some type of facade, then...
No. You had it right the first time.
Shut up. Who am I, Kenzie? I always have to put up this fake facade. Really? Are you sure it's a fake facade?
Are you certain sure?
I'm positive.
I'm totally positively sure it's a fake facade.
Either they like me for me or they don't. I'm not going to, there's not going to be this date phase. Obviously, there's going to be a little when you start dating. I don't know why I keep watching for kickoff.
I don't know either.
You're going to have to cut that out too.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to leave it all in.
There's going to be a certain date phase just because you kind of want to be able to read them. If you just come out of the box going, hey, let's go in the hot tub. You know your eyes are safe if we in the hot tub.
God.
Just, plus, if I go ahead and finish in your hoo-hoo in the hot tub, all the chlorine and the hot water probably will kill whatever I have.
All safe. You're not going to catch nothing.
You can't catch nothing. We sitting in chlorine and hot water. What could live inside your pussy after that?
Certainly none of my crabs.
Yeah, my crabs, they died about 2 minutes ago. In fact, if you got some melted butter. At this point, they soft shell.
For more information on the Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com to get signed up for the Russ Martin Show audio archives. Go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanO'Malley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. Find and follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for all things 97.1 The Eagle. Go to KEGL.com. Nikki Sixx is up next. For all things Talk Radio 1190, go to 1190talkradio.com, where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right, see you guys later.
The Metroplex.